Angela Merkel, the former long-term Chancellor of Germany. She was in an interview and she let it slip that she thinks they'll still be fighting, Ukraine and Russia will still be fighting that war in 10 years' time. They want it to keep it going. The military-industrial complex are cashing in. And, they're having an opportunity to test all battlefield weapons real-time, and they're loving it. But, I mean, it is actually NATO that's fighting Russia. It's not Ukraine. When we have been firing, UK have been firing Storm Shadow missiles for 2.5 years with UK technicians out of our missiles, out of Ukraine, into Russia. And the French have been doing the same with the Scalps, and you Americans, you've been doing the same with your Attackums.
We gave them, I believe, $350 billion, but let's say it's something less than that, but it's a lot. And we have to equalize with Europe, because Europe has given a very much smaller percentage than that. I think Europe has given $100 billion, and we've given, let's say, 300 plus. And it's more important for them than it is for us. We have an ocean in between, and they don't.
American missiles.
They would like to be able to do that. We'll take a look at it. They have asked about it.
I mean, how can you say we're not at war with Russia when, if Russia occupied or had a deal with Scotland and they were put their missiles into Scotland and were firing them at London, I think we'd say we're at war with Russia. We're in exactly that situation. Russia do not want to have a war with Europe or NATO. They've only got 144 million people. The combined population of NATO countries is 975 million. Russia's already the largest country in the world. They've got between $70 and $90 trillion of identified natural resources. That's the reason that the BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street want NATO to engage in a war with Russia.
And let me just stop you and back you up. They said our new business model is a wartime economy. It'll last 20 or 30 years. We will win the conventional war. We don't think Russia will ever go nuclear. And then we will break Russia up in five parts. That is Napoleonic. It's Hitlerian. And now they're back again saying it. And so, and I agree with you, we've got 900 million people. And then,
and Alex, we've done all this before. In 1991, when we told the Russians or the Soviet Union, let us have East Germany and let us reunify Germany. We'll never move EU and NATO an inch east of there. We've moved 1,000 miles since. What did we end up with in East Germany? We ended up with a lot of old Soviet weapons, enormous. They were sent to Yugoslavia in 1991. That's what created the war in Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia was a competitor organization to the European Union and NATO. We destroyed those countries. And then we picked apart and took what we wanted. We balkanized them in the Balkans.
Germany had free LNG and gas and energy with Angela Merkel and Putin. They were like this. I hope you don't edit this out. They were best friends until 2014. And there was a CIA coup d'etat in Kiev with Victoria Nuland. Look it up. And then it was Biden and Burisma and profit and money laundering.
So we took Croatia and Slovenia into NATO and the EU pretty quickly. We've had Montenegro since, and we blame the Serbs for it. The EU and NATO, we created that war in the Balkans. And if you remember, we bombed Belgrade for many, many months. There's no way they could fight back against us. We're not wearing the white hats in this, Alex, and I'm ashamed of what part we've played in wars in Europe.
InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
That you guys, I'm back with you again, Rex Jones, your host of the War Room Live here today on AJN. I want to remind everyone watching right now, number one thing you can do to support the show beyond buying the products, anything else, share the live links, retweet, repost, share this broadcast. It's important that you and your friends and everyone you know knows what we're talking about here and what's going on today in the world. Now, here's the thing about me, all right? I've been a little bit of doom and gloom. I've been a little bit of a black pillar, you might say, maybe even too negative. But I've reached a point with my former Trump support where I can't truly ever go back. That being said, you know, it is nice to look across the river, the Rubicon, if you will, and seeing some positive movement for a change is really impressing me. So J.D. Vance specifically is someone that I've spent a lot of time hating on. I've been calling him like Chud Vance and stuff like that. I've been saying he'll never be president. I still believe that, by the way, because I still believe in 2028 and 2032 and moving on, moving forward, this will be looked at as the $500 billion boondoggle that resulted in dead civilians across the planet and the United States dead soldiers as well. I don't really think you ever come back from that. But at the same time, it's nice to see the pivot being made. Now, why is the pivot being made? Why is the pivot being made? There's a lot of examples that we've been given. There's a lot of copium that's been sold. Well, the pivot's being made because we won already, right? That's kind of the number one argument. We won already. They have no nuclear. It's all totally gone. Whatever that means, right? And we're going to get into that because Trump says they're going to be allowed to enrich uranium for civilian purposes because, as he says with their ballistic missile systems as well, it's not fair if they can't have it, but other nations in the region can have it as well. Huh. There wouldn't happen to be another nation. You know, it's also in Levant that is not a signatory to the NPT, even though Iran is and has nuclear weapons, even though Iran does not. And that's actually our greatest ally, Israel. And they're very, very, very upset about this memorandum of understanding. And that's the thing, honestly, that's been making me the most positive about all of it is because when they're unhappy, I have to believe when Mark Shapiro, God, imagine that. Imagine that fusion, Mark Shapiro. But when Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro are around, and you have that example to point out, they are completely losing their minds. They have a word for it. It's called kvetching. I think that's how you say it. Look at that. We're going to get into all of that and more with the Vance crash out. But I want to show a few key points. This is clip one, clip two, and clip three. I want to show you guys just a little bit of a recap of the historic G7 summit yesterday where Trump signed the memorandum of understanding shortly after. Go ahead and play clip one on the uranium.
We've been pretty tough in that. You know, it's also, it is a little hard, though, when you say that somebody wants it, other people have it, other adjoining states have it, and you're not letting them have it for purposes of electricity and things like that. It's always a little tough. You have to use a little common sense, please.
Got to use a little common sense, huh? Okay, let's go to clip two.
See how it all goes. I think it's going to go well. But we'll see. So I will see you guys at Versailles.
Can I follow up quickly on something you said at the press conference? You said you don't mind Iran having ballistic missiles. Can you elaborate on that? I want to make sure we understand your position.
No, I'm saying that if other countries have them, it's a little bit unfair for them not to have some.
Wow.
A ballistic missile is not the same thing as what we're talking about, when we talk nuclear.
But if other countries have
Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and they all have some, I would say, in relative proportion, I think it's okay. That's what I mean.
Wow, he's talking about fairness. Now let's go to clip three.
Do it. I mean, you have people living there. Buildings are being dropped on top of them. Or right alongside of them.
Yep, we've seen it for years, Trump.
How would you like to live there?
We wouldn't. They wouldn't.
It's so unfair, especially Beirut. You know, you go into Beirut.
Wow.
I looked at the scene 2 days ago yesterday where they hit. That was a big hit. That was unnecessary in my book. Yeah, please.
Okay, so those points that he mentioned, the civilian nuclear program, the ballistic missile program, and what was the last one he's talking about Lebanon and about Beirut specifically, those are the three non-negotiables for Iran. And he agrees with them. He calls it out right there, and he says, hey, it's not really fair for them to have no enrichment if the other nations can have enrichment. It's not really fair for them not to be able to defend themselves or use ballistic missiles if other nations use them, like Israel, like Saudi Arabia, like UAE, for example. It's not really fair if they get Lebanon bombed. It's not really fair to the Iranians, and it's not really fair to the people there, and it's not really fair to Trump, the guy whose entire MOU, the thing that he very clearly wants done, hinges upon peace in Lebanon. And this is the main bone of contention that's driving the U.S. and Israel apart right now. I love it. I'm all for it. I 110% support it. But you've got to think about the reality on the ground for the people in Lebanon. As Trump says, you blow up an entire building just to get one person. A lot of go ahead and play the clip out or play it again really quick. Let's analyze that again. Clip number three. Very important.
Do it. I mean, you have people living there. Buildings are being dropped on top of them, or right alongside of them.
Yep.
How would you like to live there? It's so unfair, especially Beirut. You know, you go into Beirut, and I looked at the scene 2 days ago yesterday where they hit. That was a big hit. That was unnecessary in my book. Yeah, please.
So they're dropping buildings on top of people while they're still in them, innocent civilians. That's implied. That's obvious. And you know, they're just allowed to do it. It's unnecessary. That's what Trump says. And, you know, you have to look at it. And I am disgusted that I genuinely believe he doesn't really care about human life that much. I used to believe that he did. I used to believe that's why he was the peace candidate, pro-peace. Now I just think it's something that he said. But from a resource-based calculation, we're going to run out of oil in 4 weeks or 17 days or whatever the number is. And he knows that. He knows that means we're doomed. And that's why the war really came to a stop, really came to an end. Donald J. Trump was not willing to risk complete political annihilation in the midterms for his party that he has now branded as his own. He's taken over the Republican Party. So he decided, well, I'm going to cut bait on Bibi Netanyahu and all these other people. That's what it looks like. I'm waiting for the schizo to show up with the documents and show me that, you know, it's all a grand giant scheme, right? Like I don't know if I even believe this, but they're saying all the right things, doing all the right things. And you got to keep in mind, when does Donald Trump have the most agency? When is Donald Trump the most free? It's certainly not when he's in the Pentagon or Situation Room or White House or Mar-a-Lago, where he's being propagandized and tormented by all, you know, these big funders, big groups, people he had to put in his cabinet because he was told to put them in his cabinet by Miriam Adelson. When he's got the most agency, polar opposite of that, is when he's at the G7 conference in front of the entire world. And no matter what happens in that moment when he's on stage, nothing can stop him from being the United States president. Because although we know it's a myth, although we know, like Putin says, the men with the black suits and black ties show up when you get elected and they tell you how the world really works, although we know it's not real in that moment because of the Truman Show aspect of it, it is real, right? No pun intended, Israel. But it is real in that moment, right? Miriam ain't there. Miriam ain't on that stage. It's just DJT, Donald John Trump, and the world knows him as the leader of the free world, the leader of the U.S. empire, the leader of America. So in that moment, he calls out war crimes. He says it's reasonable for them to have civilian enrichment, ballistic missile program, all the things that Iran says are copacetic, and these are the things we need to make an agreement, he agrees with. So Donald John Trump is not the obstacle. The U.S. president is not the obstacle to peace anymore. It is now officially Benjamin Netanyahu, Bezalel Smotrich, Itamar Ben-Gvir. That is who is responsible. That is who the world will blame. And this is what I've always said. You can go back and watch shows of me months and months and months ago since I came out against Trump on all this stuff. You can go watch me say it. Trump, they would build golden statues of you if you just actually brought peace to the planet, were anti-war, and closed the border and did what you said you were going to do, right? That's all anybody wanted. We voted for you. I pulled the cross out of my shirt and told people to vote for you on the very basis that I believed that you hated death. Well, prove that you hate death, Trump, or prove that you're at least disgusted by it. Prove that you don't want it. Get us out of this. And sadly,
That means, you know, we're going to have to cut bait. We're going to have to lose some stuff. Talk about that $300 billion number. This is why I like Joe Kent's solution all the much better. Just declare victory and go home. What are they going to do? What do we need these bases for? And that is the thing that does depress me a little bit about all of this is we're going to keep the bases. We're going to keep doing all this stuff. We're going to try to. Maybe we'll fail down the line or whatever. But it's just sunk cost fallacy. We got to get out of the Middle East. And I'll have wise unk boomers like waddle over to me like fat geese at the park and lecture me about, oh, you don't understand, young man. It's a power vacuum and somebody else is going to fill it. Sounds a lot like domino theory. Sounds a lot like Vietnam and Korea. Sounds a lot like BS. Okay. You know, Mark Levin, if a landfill could speak, it would sound a lot like Mark Levin. That's how full of crap he is. That's how full of crap all these people are. I'm sick of it. How much more do we have to suffer before we get peace? How many more stupid desert names do I have to learn before we can have, you know, domestic tranquility, the things the founding fathers talked about, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not life, no liberty, and Levin. Good grief. Look at that creature. Would you let him babysit your children? Hell no. Get him off the screen. We can get rid of him in the studio. That's the power of flying the spaceship. Get rid of him. All right. Let's play the real reason for the end of the war. Let's go to clip four.
It affects us. We have so much oil. We have tremendous oil and gas, much more than we need. We're now totally independent of the Middle East, and yet we are there to help. We don't have to be there. We don't need their oil. We don't need anything they have. I'm going to get bad press. I know that. Now, if I did the opposite, if I went out and continued to bomb them for another four, just bomb the hell out of them, I get bad press on that. No, there's nothing I can do. But what this does is it.
That's all we need to hear. It's 4 weeks left. There's nothing I can do. And in there lies the truth. That's what we've been saying since day one. Everyone that's been anti-war consistently, both on Ukraine and this, that's called this out for the bad, disgusting idea that it always was. So at the same time, you're showering Trump with praise. It is like the bar in that episode of South Park. Let's see if we can get that up. It's like the one that James Cameron has to go down and raise. It's in the Marianas Trench, right? Like, he hasn't done anything correct on foreign policy, in my opinion. Like, it's been a disaster. Kept funding Ukraine. We're going to get into that in the second and third hour with our special guest, Ivan Ranklin. We're going to talk about the latest attacks on Moscow. Kept funding Ukraine. Kept funding Israel. Let them get us into the 12-day war. Let this war happen. You know, he's been unable to cut off the funding. You would think that's the basic thing the president can do. Right? You would think he'd be able to pull it, right? Sadly, we didn't get that. Let's see if he's got the balls to stand up to Ben-Gavir on Lebanon, because Trump has said, and the memorandum of understanding says, an immediate stop to all the conflicts, including Lebanon. I'm paraphrasing. That's the exact language. Let's go ahead and go to clip five, Ben-Gavir going against our president. Continue to act also contrary to the principles of the U.S. Yes, we are an independent country. No, you're not. And we cannot stop demolishing houses. Pause it. We cannot stop demolishing houses in southern Lebanon. We cannot stop demolishing, destroying, burning them down, tearing people's olive trees out of the ground, setting them on fire. Why would you do this? Why can you not stop demolishing homes, right? It's called ethnic cleansing. It's the same reason why on Google and Apple Maps, they're having southern Lebanon slowly but consistently erased, okay? They're erasing the people. They're erasing the culture. They're erasing their homes. I don't get how much deeper to the soul of a nation you can get than that. Imagine if people were over here bulldozing your home so they could build another place, and they were working on Google Maps and Apple Maps, and they were saying, that address to his home, we don't need that anymore. We got a new country. We got new people coming in. They'll own it. That's how low the bar is sunk. Look at that. That's where we're at. Okay. So Trump's impassioned defense of Lebanon yesterday, if he holds to that, maybe it can be like James Cameron. Maybe I can raise the bar a little bit. Maybe I can trigger some stuff here. That's the amazing thing about being in the studio. But yes, let's go ahead and get into more of them reiterating that. Now I want to go to Smotrich, who I believe is both the finance and defense minister. Bezalel Smotrich, clip six.
קבינט זה מקבינט.
לא נרחיב, אנחנו עומדים על חופש הפעולה שלנו בלבנון, חד משמעית, לא נאפשר בשום
פעולה. We will not allow subjects there. I say that we are maintaining the IDF's full freedom of action in Lebanon. We are also maintaining the security. We are continuing to clean them of terrorist infrastructure. They have never done such a thorough and in-depth cleaning of the entire southern region. Here, pause it. They refer to killing the Palestinians as mowing the lawn, mowing the grass, because you kill the little ones so they don't grow up to be big and all that, right? So it's that same language that we're always taught that Hitler used, right? It's, oh, we got to cleanse. Hitler's primary emotion, we're told this, is disgust, right? That's why he wanted to get rid of people in a wheelchair, the people that were retarded, then Polacks, then the Jews, then whatever, right? That's the official narrative. I'm not even going to get into that whole sideshow. But we're taught this, right? We're taught that ethnic cleansing and genocide are wrong, and we're always handed the example of Nazi Germany. How is Ben-Gvir not a Nazi by that standard? How is Smotrich not a Nazi by that standard? It'll take y'all a while. I didn't have it in the rundown, but just look up Ben-Gvir Flotilla. Okay, because this guy is literally Cartman. Okay, he's literally Cartman, but real, demonic, and evil. Okay, from South Park, Itamar Ben-Gvir. This guy, they got people sailing in, primarily from European countries, okay, bringing diapers, food, and water to the Palestinians on something called the Freedom Aid Flotilla. Now, I know a lot of y'all out there go, Freedom Aid Flotilla, that's what Greta Thunberg was on, and she's a liberal. And it's like, yeah, we got to get past that. There's little children starving every day to death in Gaza, right? So Ben-Gvir and the IDF buddies, they interdict the people legally or illegally. They interdict them in international waters, and they handcuff them. They put them in struggle positions, cut to where he has them, you know, kneeling face down on the ground. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, he's a real tough man, right? That's your Eric Cartman. Look at that. Look at all those peons. Look at all those peasants. Yeah, they bow down to him. How does that make you feel, America, that you subsidize this nation? You subsidize a nation that engages in brutal human rights abuses like this. And this is the stuff of nightmares. We're better than this. We're a better nation, a better country than this. And that's why Donald Trump, despite all his corrupt, wicked behavior, has called it out at the most basic level. Ladies and gentlemen, stop bombing Beirut. Stop bombing Lebanon. Stop bringing entire apartment complexes down on little children's heads. Stop it. Bad dog. That's how the U.S. has to talk to Israel from now on. We got to pull aid. We got to pull Section 224 immediately. That immediately has to be gone. And number three, people like Netanyahu, people that have warrants out for their arrest, International Criminal Court of Justice, these are war criminals, okay? And there are people that say, what are you going to do? What's your solution? Look at this. What's their solution? Murder everybody? Oh, we going to make it safe for ourselves because we killed everybody else? It's genocide. It's literally genocide. You're watching genocide. I've debated people that tell me footage like this is CGI, AI, or fake. None of it's real. Nobody died in Gaza. Only 50,000 people died in Gaza. Ridiculous lie. Hundreds of thousands dead. But oh, no. When the CIA, Mossad, when they back a color revolution inside Iran and give people weapons and Starlink and the ability to, you know, try to overthrow the government, when they do that, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. And then they lose four, they say, oh, because we funded this action in the country, we lost these people. They're now dead protesters. They're now dead protesters. Now we lost 40,000 protesters. Go ask Grok about that event. If you go ask Grok about that event, it'll tell you there's not a single primary source for it. Yet they all repeat it verbatim like it's water, right? They just let it flow, and they tell you, somebody that's seen the aerial footage of Gaza, the wreckage of it, you watch that before and after line, where it's essentially just wiped completely clean, right? And they'll tell you only 67,000 people died, and they'll tell you most of them were terrorists. That's the level of propaganda. Go ahead and play more Lebanon footage really quick. People need to see this. These are American bombs that you paid for. Same thing with Gaza as well. Look at this. Yeah, that's Gaza as well. That's Gaza that's up right now. Look at the before and after. You paid for it. You eat it. It's that great scene out of Full Metal Jacket where Private Pyle has hidden the donut and all the other people got to do push-ups except for Pyle, and they beat on him later. You paid for it. You eat it. That's what Gaza is. That's what Lebanon is. That's what the Manab school bombing in Iran was. It was things that we paid for. We paid for them, not the Israelis. The Israelis guided us to do it, directed us to do it. We paid for it, so we're partly responsible for it. And that's why I do this show. That's why I talk about these things, is to wake the American public up. Do you want to continue being responsible for it? Sure, everyone has done a little evil, whatever. But when you become knowledgeable and complicit in it is when it becomes truly disgusting. Okay, we've got to step away here. We got to leave the Middle East here. We got to let all these people figure out their own problems without our interference. And we got to stop backing the bully at this school. We really, really got to stop. Because we established ourselves, you know, as the protectorate, as the world policeman, all that. Well, you can't really be the world policeman if you're discriminatory, right? You know, if you're judging people unfairly, you got a favorite, you got a favorite student, you know, a favorite, accomplice, shall I say, that helps you run your empire. Well, that accomplice has taken over our empire, ladies and gentlemen, and we can't be a part of it anymore. I'll play one last clip. Go ahead and go to, actually, no, we'll save that for after the break. I want to tell everyone right now, and I'll go ahead and do it live on air. You want the amazing supplements that we have at the alexjonesstore.com. We've got methylene blue capsule, methylene red, power plant, methyl drive, ultimate life force, MK Ultra, all these amazing blends. That right there is 10 milligrams, perfectly measured, perfectly dosed of methylene blue in a capsule so you don't get a blue tongue when you're interviewing an important guest. So absolutely delicious, super easy to take, super easy to travel with as well. Highly recommend the capsule form of Ultimate Methylene Blue, available now at thealexjonesstore.com. We also got a phenomenal lineup of hats, t-shirt, apparel, and we've also got the amazing water filters back. I can finally say that I am but a humble water filter merchant. Again, it feels good to say, it feels good to know we got the best gravity-fed filter around. We're kind of known for that in the past, and now we have it in the present. It is a investment in your life, an investment in your future. Be healthy. You don't need fluoride, don't need atrazine, don't need all these contaminants. Just get healthy water and get the dual carbon platinum gravity-fed water filter system, gravity-fed, excuse me, from the Alex Jones Store.com. You can get all of that and more at that URL. And I'll go ahead and do a little plug for myself. If you're interested in me and you want to see more of me, I'm Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. That's Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. And Gray Area Talks, the evening show, I'll be live tonight because tonight is a Thursday. I'm live every single Thursday and every single Sunday from around 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. To add on to that, additionally, I'm live in the morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you want to catch me, I'm always around, and I've been guest hosting more and more. I really do appreciate that. My two other homes, though, you really need to check them out. Gray Area Talks on Rumble, X, wherever you can find it, YouTube as well. And then New American Journal on Rumble and X. I really appreciate everyone who's been watching the show and who has found me through there. I've been getting a lot of messages, and I really appreciate you guys. It's like I've grown up with you, right? We've got a lot more news to cover, and I do it every day, multiple times a day on Gray Area Talks. So you want to go there and follow that account. We'll get into all of it and more. I've got Mark Levin threatening the nuke. Mark Levin's also texting the president. And it's so funny because it's audio only and it makes it easier to throw other things over it and do the impressions. I've also got Ben Shapiro crashing out, kvetching, as I said. They are not happy. They are not happy. And to me, that's the greatest indicator of like, yeah, maybe it's okay to white pill a little bit. Yeah, maybe it's okay to smoke on the Mark Levin runts, the Mark Levin pack, right? The Mark Levin cig. I'm positive about that and more in the future. And keep in mind, second hour, I'll be joined by the great and powerful Ivan Ranklin, retired Green Beret, constitutional lawyer and independent investigator. So really looking forward to that and his work on the SAVE Act. And I will see you soon after this break. Breaky, breaky time. Appreciate everyone here today.
Tell your friends, and you can get Alex to the Alex Jones app as well, alexjonesapp.com. You know, especially you young people, the Zoomers listening to me, go help your grandparents. I literally, when I was in Colorado, was like installing the app on my grandmother's phone, doing the shortcut to the Rumble channel so she could always find the live stream. Technology's moving, we're moving with it, and we got to make sure to pull everybody along with us. And of course, you can support us by going to the alexjonesstore.com. We have incredible products there. I'm kind of a sucker for all of the products that we have at thealexjonesstore.com because they're all awesome, and it's like it's not a thing I'm getting paid to do, right? Like I could always carry around my old wallet, but I got the new wallet because it's so awesome and I've been so happy with it the entire time. Now we have these premium nylon tactical belts available at thealexjonesstore.com. They're only $39.99, and they are of equivalent design, quality standards, aesthetics, just amazing stuff. You will never be disappointed with the quality of items at thealexjonesstore.com. Whether it's the supplements or the gear like this, it's always top-notch, just like we try to keep our coverage always top-notch. Might be an ironic thing to say for a belt that has no notches. It is a heavy-duty nylon webbing with smooth automatic ratchet buckle, so there's no holes, no notches, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You just adjust it to exactly where you want it, and it stays there. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit, whether you're out working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. We've got three unique designs, the Cross Edition, the 1776 Edition, and the Alex Jones Signature Edition. You can get each one of these for under $40, but for a limited time, you can get all three designs bundled together for only $99. If you want my advice, they make fantastic gifts, so if you want one, go ahead and get all three, and then give your least favorite two out as gifts. Or heck, buy six and give three of them out as gifts. And of course, the America 250 Birthday Limited Edition 4th of July Apparel Sale is on. Folks, 4th of July is coming up quick. You're not going to want to be out there wearing, like, a purple shirt, right? You're going to want to be decked out head to toe in the most patriotic gear you can find. And the best place to get it, hands down, is thealexjonesstore.com. This collection right now is 30% off. So again, you're running out of time to get this before July 4th, so it's delivered and you can wear it with pride on Independence Day, coming up very, very quickly. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the America 250 Limited Edition 4th of July Apparel Collection. It's 30% off right now. We also have gravity-fed water filter systems back in stock, because we are, at the end of the day, but humble water filter salesmen here trying to both provide, because it's always the way we've been. You've got to not just combat this stuff at the political level. You've got to protect yourself in the meantime. In other words, they put chemicals in the water. We want to be activists. We want to be protesters. We want to be running for office to get that changed, to get the stuff removed from the water. In the meantime, filter your water. It goes like that. Destroying Tyranny Since 1776, Betsy Ross snake t-shirt. It's like, how many band logos can you put on a single shirt? How many logos that would get you kicked out of the U.S. military or investigated by the FBI can we put on a shirt? Because believe it or not, that is the state of freedom of this in this country, at least a few years ago. Do you remember there was a serial, like a list of symbols that had been banned by the U.S. Army for, you know, extremist ties? Embrace freedom and our symbols and our history unapologetically, proudly, and by going to thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, I've got a real angel and devil on your shoulder moment here. I want to contrast the opinions about the MOU and about Trump's newfound peace position as the true peace president now, which is crazy to say, but if he holds to what he says, it might in fact be true, at least for a little while. Let's get into it. I've got J.D. Vance on one side, and I've got Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin on the other. Let's start with the devil. Let's go ahead and go to clip number... Which one is it? Clip number eight. Let's start with Mark Levin. I know I told you all during the break, the crew, that I wanted to start with Shapiro. Let's go to clip number eight.
I strongly disagree with something the president said today. I heard him say one other time.
I strongly disagree with what the president said.
If we hadn't attacked Iran, Israel would not exist. It would have been destroyed. That's simply not true.
So it's already fake from the jump. All right. He's already saying, like, he's playing unk. He's mentoring the president. Mark, who are you? You're a talking head. You're a broadcaster. Rush Limbaugh called you the great one time, but I don't know.
Hamas and Hezbollah must be stopped, and I've got knowledge the president doesn't have, don't I, Mr. Producer?
That's literally what he sounds like. Imagine if I talk like that. Seriously. And I know sometimes I made the joke that I would be a better president or a better VP than JD or Trump because I would resign because I wouldn't be qualified for the job because I'm a 23-year-old, right? That's a joke. Mark Levin thinks it for real. Go back to him.
It's simply not true.
Nah.
For 12 days, Israel fought a year ago against the Iranian regime.
Pause it. Fighting, by the way, means bombing people. Okay, they don't fight on the ground unless it's against defenseless women and children. And when they fight against Hamas and Hezbollah, they get blown up even if they're in a tank. Right? So when he says fighting, he means bombing them with weapons that we paid for. Play it again. Play it again.
Destroyed its ground-to-air missiles. Destroyed its Soviet and slash Russian radar system.
Pause it. See, Unk is still living in the Cold War. He still thinks, you know, it's the 1970s, 1960s, 1980s. Play it again.
Destroyed much of its air force. Destroyed much of any of its defenses.
Why?
For 12 days. We went in on the 13th day with our great bombers and those bombs, and we hit those nuclear sites. But Israel has some very, very powerful weapons that it has not used. I don't know this firsthand. Just go online and read about it.
Okay, pause
it's
it.
It's a secret that's...
All right, so he's about to admit or tacitly admit to the nuclear program. I would say, are him and Jonathan Pollard cousins, twins? Are they brother and sister? You know, like what's going on here? For whenever they get back into the corner, the immediate response is to threaten America with the deployment of a nuclear weapon, right? That's what happened in 1973 during the Yom Kippur War. You can go watch Jonathan Pollard, notorious spy for Israel. Talk about it. He received a 30-year in jail prison sentence. So I think he knows what he's talking about in this regard. They threatened to use nuclear weapons. They said, hey, we got a F-4, whatever it's called, aircraft parked on the tarmac. We need y'all Americans. Take a look at it with your eye in the sky and notice the unconventional weaponry under the wing, right? So Mark Levin is about to admit this, and we already know this thanks to Jonathan Pollard and all his evils that he's admitted to, right? We're fully aware of that. But when Mark Levin starts talking about it, he's proud of it. He's proud of it. They're openly proud of it. Keep in mind, Israel, the only nation in the world that has nuclear weapons, I believe, and is not signatory to the NPT. I could be wrong about that, but I'd shudder to think of who else is on the list. North Korea, maybe? Like, dang, dude, like that's real limited. Go back to him.
And they've had him for decades. Israel will survive.
Israel.
Period.
All right. That's how you know he's a real MIGA, is because he hits the Israel. And I always say, if you want to be a real MIGA, it's I-Z-R-U-L. That's how Lindsey says it. That's how Ted Cruz says it. And that's apparently how Mark Levin says it, even though they all have vastly different accents. What's up with that? What's up with Israel? Look at that. Pollard. Jews will always have dual loyalty and should consider spying for Israel. Yeah. And Mike Huckabee, before the Ozempic, I guess he was like patient zero for that drug, because you can look at him back in 2011 with Jonathan Pollard trying to lobby to get him out of prison. And Mike Huckabee, is like 400 pounds. Like, pull this up, because you guys aren't going to believe me. Like, maybe you will if you're older and aware of politics. But to the younger viewers out there, if you're unfamiliar with the pre-Trump era of politics, some of these people you see now used to look vastly different. But Mark Levin is out there, you know, simping for the nuclear weapon, and Huckabee is out there simping for Jonathan Pollard and all these people. Who elected you? Nobody. Let's go ahead and go to Ben Shapiro now, clip 9. If we got it.
I'm noticing that Mohammed Khalibaf, who will apparently on Friday be literally in a photo op with the Vice President of the United States. I cannot express to you how stomach turning that is. I don't care who the vice president is. I don't care who the president is. Leaders of the United States of America in a photo op with a mass murdering terrorist supporter like Mohammed Khalibaf shaking hands 6 months after he blew away.
This is a very quick point. We covered it yesterday. I'm just trying to cover the waterfront with all the neocon garbage. Ben Shapiro says it turns his stomach as an American or as a whatever, right? That this is happening, that J.D. Vance is going to meet with the Lebanese guy that did a terrorism or whatnot. Trump meets with Al Julani and sprays him with his own perfume, a notorious Syrian terrorist head chopper, head of Al-Qaeda. So that's where we are with that. Go to clip 8.5. Mark Levin is texting the president. Wait till you hear this one. Really crazy
stuff. Listen, folks, I don't know if one day the president will get mad at me or not. It's possible.
Possible? Pause it. You know, it's possible the president might get mad at me. Leave his photo up. It'll help me with the impression. It's possible the president might get mad at me. It's only like I call him 48 times a day. And, you know, I think we used to have a closer relationship when I was gargling his balls. He really liked it when I was doing that. But ever since he, you know, stopped supporting Israel,
Ever since he stopped doing that, I've been really upset because Hamas and Hezbollah must be defeated. No matter how many civilians we gotta kill to do it, Hamas and Hezbollah must be eradicated. And you might ask, Mark, who is Hamas and who is Hezbollah? And I would say that's every woman and child living in Lebanon and Gaza. You know, my friends in the IDF, they call it mowing the grass, mowing the lawn, killing the children so they don't grow up to become adults. Hamas and Hezbollah! They're Hamas and Hezbollah little children. We don't want them to grow up, so we get rid of them. And Donald, I've got to stop gargling your balls when you're not letting us kill those little children.
That's literally his political position. Go back to it. He's texting the president, you know, like a girl with her feet up in bed or something. It's truly disgusting. Keep playing him.
Love texts back and forth as I speak, aren't we, Mr. Producer?
Whoa, pause it. All right, we're going to rewind. What did Unk just say? Pause on Unk. Rewind 5 seconds. He's sending love texts to the president? What? All right. Go ahead and replay it now.
Love texts back and forth as I speak, aren't we, Mr. Producer?
Wow.
I'm actually too embarrassed to read them.
Yo! Pause.
But he must be on his...
What's going on that he's too embarrassed to read the love texts, okay? You know, it's kind of embarrassing. I had a really, really big crush on you, Donald Trump, until you stopped letting me commit a genocide or advocate for a genocide until you got a peace deal. I thought you were a pro-war, blood-hungry person like me. Wow. All right, go back to him. I'm interrupting a little bit here.
Air Force One on the way back? Yeah. Well, I just got a text from him. So I always love this man and adore this man. He may get mad at me.
Whoa, pause.
What I'm doing and...
Are they husband and wife? He's always going to love this man. Like, it's legal. You know, Trump's been divorced before. He can get the divorce with Melania and get married to Mark Levin. He can be, you know, like our first or second, depending on how you view Obama, gay president. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Ladies and gentlemen, go back to it.
I say this is no way intended to be.
No way.
I'm sabotaging anything. I told you this is going to go through. What I'd like to do in the next 60 days is help improve it.
Oh, I'd like to help improve
it. That's just my perspective. Well,
Mega, how are you going to improve the peace plan? You're going to burn it and light it on fire and get rid of it. Like that's what his improvement is, right? Everything Trump talked about, letting them have civilian enrichment, stopping the bombings of Lebanon, and then making sure that, hey, just like every other nation in the region, they can have ballistic missiles, because guess what? We can't take them from them, Mark. Those are, I think that's Mark Levin's main bone of contention, right? The idea that Iran is going to be acknowledged as a regional power and mostly be left alone and given a bunch of money. I don't think, and I've been listening to the Levin show, he ain't happy about the $300 billion. I'm not either. But if that's the price that has to be paid to get Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro out of our politics, I mean, I view that kind of as money well spent. Let's go ahead and go to the angel on the shoulder. And I've been a huge hater. Okay. And I still am. I can't renege from that perspective, right? I really can't. JD, you called out the Iraq war just like Trump did. I just saw a thing where he's on a podcast and the guy's like, oh, wow, you're really calling that a mistake still? He's like, yeah, absolutely. It's disgusting. I abhor it. Well, if you abhor it, JD, if you abhorred the Iraq war, why did you co-sign this one? And I guess the argument coming out of a lot of circles like Robert Barnes, who I really respect, and a lot of others, is that JD has kind of been pushed to the side. And even as he's been pushed to the side, he's been trying to get the peace deal and he's a big factor in it. Here's the thing, guys. It's like my co-host Anthony Graffio said yesterday. I'm tired of trusting these politicians, right? We all voted for Trump based on the fact that he wasn't a politician. J.D. Vance, to me, just reads as a career politician. I want a military guy. I want a guy with skin in the game, a guy that's built something, done something, bled somewhere. That's what I want. Not this, not Chud Vance. But at the same time, I'm being a hater because I want to be real. I don't want to, you know, just totally go, he's amazing, he's great, he's the best, when I've gone, he's terrible, he's bad, he's a fraud. It's a mix, you know, just like a lot of people, right? Let's go ahead and go to clip 10.
And look, I mean, it's very simple. You can't tell a country, whether Israel or Iran, they're not allowed to have any self-defense. That's not what the president has asked. That's not what the president has requested. But as part of the final deal, what we want to see is Iran not funding regional instability, funding regional terrorism, and of course trying to rebuild their nuclear weapons program. That's the main thing. The nuclear weapons program is destroyed. It is gone. If the Iranians decided tomorrow to build a nuclear weapon, they simply don't have the capacity in order to do that. What we're trying to ensure is they don't rebuild that capacity, not just a year from now, 2 years from now, but many, many years from now, so that our children never have to worry about a state sponsor of terrorism having a nuclear weapon.
All right, so what we're dealing with here is the original 12-day war fallacy, right? And it's not a fallacy if we had stuck to it, right? Stuck to our guns that the nuclear program had been obliterated when we bombed Fordo, Nahansk, and Isfahan, right? That was Trump's initial position. Why would I go back in? I've used the B-2 bombers. Now J.D. Vance is proclaiming, we've destroyed it again. We've obliterated it again. Whatever. Whatever helps y'all sleep at night, that's fine. All right? Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. God, I do love seeing that turn back around on the Israelis. I do love seeing us say, hey, they can't have one. We destroyed the program. And you know why that's true? You know why that's beyond true? We didn't destroy the program. They didn't have it to begin with. Okay? 2003, not even 2004, as I've been saying, they passed the fatwa, the crime against God. It's a religious decree, no nuclear weapon. Who did that? Ayatollah Khamenei, who we killed. We killed the guy that banned the nuclear weapon in that country, and then the guy that replaced him, that's his son. He watched his entire family die in that attack and was critically injured as well. So does that sound like the action of a nation that doesn't want them to have a nuclear weapon or does want them to have a nuclear weapon? I've always maintained the goal of Israel getting us into this war was to get us to push Iran hard enough for them to make that call to develop that thing, to take the low road instead of the high road, if you will, when they were going to win already based off asymmetrical warfare and regional dominance, to make that mistake so Israel could truly be let off the chain and could drop nukes to murder them. That's always been my opinion. Iran chose not to do that very wisely, in my opinion, very wisely. But hey, JD, if you need to stick to the boondoggle of Iran must never have a nuclear weapon, Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Hey, what's wrong with a little brainwashing? As long as it's fun, it's pro-peace. It is what it is. We're not getting anything better than that. Go ahead and go to clip number 11, something more serious, talking about Lebanon reiterating Trump's position.
The enforceability of it. Yeah, so the Lebanon component, this is about regional peace, right? This is about regional peace. And what that means is we expect Hezbollah is not going to be firing rockets and firing drones at the Israelis. And we also expect that the Israelis are not going to be going wild in Lebanon, right? Both sides have to honor their end of the deal. Now, as you guys know, sometimes these ceasefires are a little messy. The President of the United States said this a couple of weeks ago, that a ceasefire in that region of the world just means they're shooting a little bit less at each other than they were before. What you've seen is radical progress.
Radical progress. Well, I guess both sides have agreed, and that's the benchmark Larry Johnson set as to when he'd believe something regarding peace would be real in the region. I do have to agree with him. At the same time, JD says they shouldn't go wild in Lebanon. They've been shelling Lebanon. They've flown more drones in there. They've been doing their thing. Okay, and you got to keep in mind, the battle is over the land around the Netanya River. Okay, it goes like that, and there's a little section where Israel is north of it. I think when JD says the ceasefire can be messy, things can be messy, Israel has stated, and I played the Smotrich and Ben-Gavir clips, I'm going to play them again. I'll play the Smotrich one, clip six here in a second, talking about their absolute rejection of that. Or I've already played it, I don't need to go back to it. The point being, they've ignored it. They've said, look, we need to set up a buffer zone. That means they're going to colonize and take the territory and move settlers in south of the Litani River. Now, you can look at Syria, the Golan Heights. That was allowed to happen. And even though I disagree with it, it's abhorrent. They're erasing the culture and they're genociding, ethnically cleansing the people of Lebanon. It's going to be interesting to see where the wiggle room is, but it is from Trump and reiterated from JD, a strong perspective to say, hey, no more houses dropped on top of people. It's unnecessary. It's unwarranted. The attacks on Beirut are unwarranted. That does seem to be a main sticking point. Let's go ahead and go into clip number 12. J.D. Vance, win-win for us, breaking down the situation more.
So you really have a win-win situation for the United States of America. If the Iranians don't change their behavior, their military and their nuclear program is still destroyed. If they do change their behavior, then they are going to have a transformative relationship with the Middle East, and the Middle East will have a transformative relationship with the people of Iran. That's a win for the American people and for the President of the United States, regardless of which option.
All right. Remember when the Ayatollah was gay and we're going to kill them all and ha ha ha, raghead muzzies. We're going to obliterate them. We want regime change 24 to 48 hours. We're going to get it. That's what we were all told. Now it's, he's great. Trump says, Ayatollah, you know, I bet he doesn't like me after killing his entire, you know, wife and family and dad and all that silly stuff. Believe me, maybe I wouldn't like me either if I did that. But he's a professional. I'd like to meet him. Like, Trump literally says now he'd like to meet him. J.D. Vance says we got to get along with them. This is where we always should have been, right? Instead of picking fights, instead of spending, you know, $500 billion on this war and destroyed military equipment, the $300 billion and the $110 billion spent already, instead of doing that, we could have just had peace from the begin with. We could have just lived in paradise, but we got to get back there now. Paradise lost. I want to play this one, skipping forward a little bit. Let's play clip 13.5 and then clip 14, one after another, and then come back to me.
World. And the second message I would give to some of those cabinet members, BB, to his credit, has not gone down this path, but to some of these cabinet members in Israel who are attacking the President of the United States, the other thing that I would say is that over the last 3 months, two-thirds of the defensive weapons that have protected your homeland have been built by American hands and paid for by American tax dollars. The problem for Israel is not Donald J. Trump. And anybody in Israel who thinks their biggest problem is the President of the United States needs to wake up and smell the reality of the situation that country is in. Thank you all for me. What I will say, and this does bother me, is that you've seen people within BB's cabinet.
Go ahead and pause it and go back to me. So he's calling out Ben-Gvir and Smotrich directly there because they say, we don't care what the president says. We're going to keep bombing Lebanon. JD's issuing warnings here that I haven't, I didn't expect any of this from the administration. And the fact that you see him out there being used as the attack dog for it, I have to think Trump is telling him to do it. Right. And you'd say it's not enough. I agree. We're going to see more of it if it continues. And if our position holds that we want a ceasefire, we want peace. Go ahead and play clip number 14. Did I put that in here three times? That is insane. That is crazy. We got the core of what J.D. Vance is saying, although it is, you know, a milquetoast fence sitter perspective, kind of a Rogan perspective, if you will, on the conflict, which is just, hey, man, we want it to stop. That's 1,000 times stronger than saying, hey, man, we'll pay you more to do it. Right. And that's the reversal in the U.S. position that I like to see. That's what I've been waiting for from the beginning. The simple solution to all this, it's very clear. It's right in front of everybody's face. It's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. We just have to stop paying them to do all this stuff. Right. It's not, you know, a crusade. I hear this a lot. It's like, we got to go retake the Holy Land. It doesn't belong to the Muslims, doesn't belong to the Jews. It belongs to the Christians, all of that. Why? Why? They call it the graveyard of empires for a reason. We've been in, like, who knows how many wars in the region, and we can't achieve peace everywhere we go, destabilize it. Gaddafi had the highest standard of living for all people in Africa and Libya. He was building aquifers. He was doing all these things. And guess what happened to him? We came, we saw, he died. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, bragging about the bayonet that was shoved up his ass. He died via bladed sodomy. Okay? That's what we do. And guess what? Where you had the highest standard of living in Africa, you had these aquifers, you had all these things, you know, he's developing a gold-based currency separate to the IMF. Certainly don't like that. You got open-air slave markets now. You got complete wanton apocalypse land now. Total anarchy. All for what? A failed state. And they brag about it. They call it the Libyan model. People like Lindsey Graham were calling for the Libyan model on Iran. How do you think that makes the Iranian people feel, right? You know, if you're seeing Western media and they're like, oh, we're the liberators. We want to liberate you so you can have OnlyFans and strippers in your country, right? We're going to free you by giving you a World Bank, the IMF Bank, instead of what you have already. People living there go, what? Wait. You're going to do what to me? You're going to come in here and destroy my country, take it over, pillage it and have it for yourself? I don't think so. And then, of course, they're not going to join the side of Lindsey Graham when Lindsey Graham talks about giving them the Second Amendment. The Iranians are giving guns to their own people or were to defend the homeland due to an invasion. Right. And you think about this story. It's very, very simple to understand. You got people being attacked, right, by a much larger power that's thousands of miles away. You think they're going to side with us? Of course not. Absolutely not. And that's the spirit of all this that people need to get through their head, the spirit they have to understand. We were always in the wrong from day one. Okay? Because just like Libya, just like Sudan, just like Yemen, just like Somalia, just like Iraq, just like Afghanistan, I could go down the list everywhere we've destroyed. we ain't ever going to fix it. You know, if we're just going to play with it and break it, then how about we don't play with it at all? And how about we let the people that live there put themselves back together again? And you know, hey, if Israel wants to have a giant war, then Mark Levin, I'm going to go over there and enlist and fight. And I'm going to go show them what's what. Like, you can go over there yourself, bro. Why do you need Americans to die? I reiterate again, because I can say thousands of dead civilians, hundreds of thousands if you include Gaza and Lebanon and all of it. I can say that all day. The Americans, they just shrug their shoulders. They go, oh, well, it's thousands of miles away. How about the 13 dead American soldiers? Probably a lot more. How about the hundreds of casualties? How about the 16 and a half gallons of blood that watered the ground when those soldiers died? How about that? You know, because Mark Levin says it's worth it to defend our country. Well, I'm sorry, bro. We don't have the same country. I serve America. You serve Israel. And that's what makes you and everyone else around you make Israel great again, a real MAGA. And you know what? That's not MAGA. That's not America First. There's nothing patriotic about it. Go be patriotic to the country you actually support. Okay. And look at this. Israel launches fresh strikes on Lebanon despite Trump criticism. Scroll down a little bit in that article. Maybe it's just a video. Of course. And I already told you the shelling going on last night. This is a matter of survival for them. And it's a matter of convenience for us here in America. And for Israel, they always make the grand claim of, oh, it's for survival as well. I guess if you're in a fight, you got to survive and win. But when you start the fight, you're kind of leaving out crucial context there, right? Trump says that Israel's been fighting Hezbollah for too long and too many people are being killed. Without the United States, there is no Israel. Yes, throw that back up. 110%. Trump's telling you the truth right there. Without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel because no other president was willing to do what I did. Well, you know, it's kind of flipped. There might be no Israel because you did do what they said. That might actually be the result of your backing them, Trump, which it's kind of ironic. You know, Netanyahu's ambitions of the greater Israel and all of it, they were running out of time already because the American people are waking up, realizing that we're funding these genocides for decades. And then Netanyahu says, okay, do or die, now or never, I've got to take over. And he does even more genocide, does land expansion. TikTok! 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 The boomers are getting older, the zoomers are getting more educated, Gen X, millennials, wiser boomers, everyone's getting awake to the scheme, awake to the fraud. We ain't paying for it, no mo. We ain't doing any of it, no mo. It's over. It's finished, finito, done. I'll be joined by Ivan Ranklin here at the start of the next hour. Really looking forward to that. Great interview. We're going to get into the Ukraine war escalation. Going to talk Operation Spiderweb, going to talk the SAVE Act and so much more. Really appreciate all of y'all. Share the live feed now. Retweet AJN. Share the Rumble link. Shout out Rumble Chat. I love you. I'll be right back. Rex Jones, War Room.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900, and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. I mean, what's wholesale gold and silver? and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I've got Ivan Ranklin joining me real soon. We're going to get into the waterfront. We're going to cover it. We're going to talk the SAVE Act, what he's been doing up there in D.C. We're also going to talk the latest Ukraine war escalation, which is something that, you know, it always makes me super sad to see what's coming out of the Russia-Ukraine war with, you know, conservatively 1.5 million people dead, including both sides. It is truly a tragedy, and we pray for peace. That's what I've always done. That is the reason why I got back into politics, geopolitics, covering media and doing a show in general, is because I saw what was happening in the Ukraine war. And I was subscribed to channels like Due Dissidence. I was subscribed to channels like Dialogue Works, Judge Napolitano. If you don't follow Judge Nap, if you don't sub to him on YouTube, that's Judge Napolitano. That is like the best information besides InfoWars you're going to get anywhere else. Maybe even, you know, better guests sometimes, because when I call people to book them, this is why I'm so thankful to Ivan. This is why I'm so thankful to Stein, so thankful to Joe Kent and others. You know, who is it? It's just little old me doing the interview, right? But I stand on the shoulders of giants, both my father and the other people that I've admired throughout the years who do great media, like, Judge Knapp and like Dialogue Works, like Nima and many others, of course. It's only through them that I learned about what was happening in Ukraine. And, you know, I paid attention to mainstream media. I was following things. I was seeing, you know, the war started, whatever. I watched the Alex Jones show, so I knew it was going to happen because, of course, my dad predicted the invasion, right? We all know that. But, you know, it was only once I started hearing about the casualties, started hearing about the press ganging, the drone attacks, all of it, that I started to really say, hey, man, you know, I got to back somebody that's against this, and that's why I backed Donald J. Trump in 2024. That's why I pulled the cross out of my shirt and told people to vote for Donald J. Trump in 2024, is because I believed he was going to pull Zelensky's funding. I thought he was going to pull his Starlink, and I thought we wouldn't see things like this anymore because they need a peace deal. The war needs to be over. 1.5 million people dead. Ukraine's been hollowed out. It's now a BlackRock project. Larry Fink goes over there with, of course, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff to meet with Zelensky and literally divide up the country like a cake, like one of those old political cartoons you'd see of like Europe and Africa, right? So I'm going to be joined by Ivan Ranklin now covering all this. We've got like 2 minutes left in this segment, so I just want to cover things here, and we'll throw him in after the break there, a little bit janky. But with all this being said, with all this happening across the world, this is why it's so important to have your number one issue, besides being constitutionalist, pro-American, especially from America, being anti-war. The supreme war crime is the initial war of aggression, right? We know this. Now, they would say, oh, we have to defend ourselves, Russia invades. Well, we set up something called the Maidan coup in that country in 2014. You can go watch video of Victoria Nuland, John McCain, and many other deep state monsters literally watching the Azov battalion take over the country as they're drinking wine from a high rise. Okay? And who do they install? They installed Little Zelensky. Now, who is Little Zelensky? Little Zelensky is this interesting character creature. He played the president on TV like Kevin Spacey, House of Cards. And that's how they were able to get enough people to like him to put him in power. So you've got this media creation, deep state creation, Victoria Nuland, John McCain creation. And what happens? They bomb the people in the Donbass that are ethnically Russian. They tell the people in the Donbass, hey, you don't speak Russian when you go to court. You don't speak Russian when you go to school. And that's discrimination. They also do terrorism on them and drop bombs on their heads. And that's why Putin came in. That's why Putin came in. And hey, Zelensky agreed with them because the Istanbul Peace Accords, he was about to sign them a month after the war started. It was only because Boris Johnson flew to Ukraine and promised to back with NATO, back them to the hilt, with our help, back them to the hilt, that we've now entered this 4-year-long war where 1.5 million people have died. I'm going to get into all of it after the break with Ivan Ranklin, the Ukraine war escalation. I've got some truly crazy, really sad, harrowing footage to show you guys. And then we'll get into the SAVE Act, what he's doing, and all of it. Really appreciate everyone being here. Share the live link, share the feed, retweet, repost, AJN Live. Thank you all, and I'll see you after the break.
AlexJonesLive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The InfoWar continues at AlexJonesLive.com. And you can follow us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, AlexJonesApp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Back live with Ivan Ranklin, retired Green Beret, constitutional lawyer, and independent investigator. Thank you so much, Ivan, for joining me. We were talking a little bit on the break there. We're both a little unhappy, very unhappy about what's going on up in D.C. with the president of the Senate. What's going on there?
Yeah, with the president of the Senate. Absolutely, Rex. Thanks for having me. So a lot of people don't even know that that's a position that exists. So let me just set the stage on what the president of the Senate is. So the president of the Senate is the senior most constitutional officer within the U.S. Senate chambers. Okay.
Okay.
The senior most above the president pro tem, which is traditionally the senior senator, that is serving from the majority party, and then above the Senate majority leader,
right,
which is a partisan position that is voted in by the majority party. And then you have a minority leader, which is the leader of the minority party. So those are the four quote unquote quasi leaders of the Senate. And two of them are not in the Constitution, meaning the Senate majority leader and the Senate minority leader. And two actually are in the Constitution. One is the president pro tem, which I just said was traditionally the senior ranking senator. And then the one above that is the president of the Senate.
Right.
Now, the unique thing about the president of the Senate, that individual is a dual branch officer, meaning the president of the Senate is the senior most senator in the legislative branch. And it so happens to be coinciding with being the vice president, this number two guy in the executive branch. Most unique position. I argue it's the second most powerful position in the United States of America after the Speaker of the House. So on the House side, again, a legislative branch entity.
Right.
You have the Speaker of the House, which is a constitutional position, and it is separate from the non-constitutional positions, the partisan positions known as the majority leader in the House and the minority leader in the House. Then you also have a majority whip and a minority whip. So you have five quote-unquote leadership positions in the House, one being constitutional, and then you have four in the Senate, two being constitutional positions.
Right.
Okay. Now that I set that framework constitutionally, on the House side, we know that Speaker of the House gets to appoint the sergeant at arms in the House side because he's the senior most constitutional, or he or she, right, is the senior
right.
most constitutional official there. And then on the Senate side, it's quite unclear because since the beginning inception of the Senate, the president of the Senate actually exerted a lot of power, the vice president, that is. So it's the vice president when you're not in the Senate chambers. So for example, in today's climate, J.D. Vance is the vice president. But the moment he steps foot, when he decides to step foot in the U.S. Senate chambers, he becomes the president of the Senate.
So it's almost like he's amphibious.
Powerful, influential position.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you can call it that. I mean, but yeah, it's the only position that carries essentially that dual branch role.
Sure.
And so when you're the president of the Senate, I argue that you take the role as the senior most constitutional officer, and thus you can appoint the Senate parliamentarian. You can appoint the Senate sergeant at arms. You can go ahead and force all inaction or action in the Senate. And what does that look like? Looks like we have a freeze here.
No, you're good. I see you great.
Okay. So if J.D. Vance steps foot in the Senate chambers, I don't know, like now, drives over from the Naval Observatory, or if he's at the White House right now, I mean, that would be, I don't know, right, 20 minutes from now, right? Approximately. Right. He steps foot in the Senate chambers, and this is what I said back in November, December after the election, that as soon as he became the vice president, he then becomes the president of the Senate on January 20th of last year. And the very first thing that he should have done was appoint your parliamentarian, appoint your Senate sergeant at arms, and then get to work. What does that mean, get to work? That means a Senate sergeant at arms forces a changeover in Capitol Police leadership so that we have a general counsel that comes in and actually exposes the planning, actions on the objective, and then the post cover-up of January 6th. All communications, all documents, all the weaponization that occurred from that general counsel of the U.S. Capitol Police on all 1,575 J6ers and beyond. Because right, that's who initiated the weaponization, not the FBI, not the DOJ, not the courts. The weaponization started with the legislative branch. I'm going to say this until pretty much I die because no one really pays attention to this, but that's essentially where the weaponization starts. And the way you unravel that weaponization is you have to understand the insider baseball game of the Capitol, meaning the legislative branch, control of the Capitol Police Board.
Hold on. I want to get a clip here. I want you to explain this to people. Go into that in depth. Explain how it truly works.
The Senate sergeant at arms is appointed by the leader of the Senate. The House sergeant at arms is appointed by the Speaker of the House. So then every year you have a House sergeant at arms that's the chair of the Capitol Police Board. And then the other year it's the Senate sergeant at arms. So as the president of the Senate, you appoint your Senate sergeant at arms. You get to control the Capitol Police Board. And thus you control the Capitol Police,
right,
and whether or not you're going to release any and all information related to the investigations, the criminal referrals, the planning for January 6th, the actions of January 6th, and its cover up.
And he can do that right now. He can do that right now, this very moment. He can go up to Capitol Hill, like you say, and initiate that process.
He can initiate that process, but it won't be until January 3rd of next year that the Senate Sergeant at Arms becomes the chair of the Capitol Police Board. Right now it's the House Sergeant at Arms. So J.D. Vance has already squandered his first year. I told him to do this last year. He didn't do it. So again, the Senate Sergeant at Arms position was that chair of the Capitol Police Board. And you can fact check and law check everything I say out there, all the ankle biters. Look up Title II U.S. Code, Chapter 29. It lays out the Capitol Police Board, the Capitol Police creation, and all the other everything I'm talking about right now. And take a look specifically at Sections 1967, Paragraph B, and 1979, Paragraph B, for some key issues that need to be addressed there. One, 1967B lays out the jurisdiction of the Capitol Police. 1979B talks about who is in the position to release security information, meaning CCTV footage, IT information, etc., related to the Capitol.
Right.
So I digress. But on January 3rd of next year, regardless of what happens with this election, even if the Democrats win the Senate, even if the Democrats win the House, both, the president of the Senate remains, and that's J.D. Vance, the vice president. And then when he walks into the Senate chambers, he can then appoint a sergeant at arms. And then on January 3rd, that's the statutory date when the chair of the Capitol Police Board becomes a Senate sergeant at arms. Okay.
Sure.
So that addresses the J6 issue. And I think that if he did this, he becomes the clear, front runner going into 2028 amongst the J6 community and everybody that was weaponized related to J6, which is the entire InfoWars network, the entire Lindell TV network, many networks, right?
Well, this is the thing.
Real America's Voice, et cetera.
We don't feel defended, right? And this is why J.D. Vance is not doing enough. The whole administration has not been doing enough, on the weaponization of justice, right? Like, this is core to this operation.
The de-weaponization of our government, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the takeover of the corporate bureaucrat lawyer class that has really subsumed Washington, in my opinion. Ivan, you've been up there not just pushing for this, but also pushing for the SAVE Act as well. You sent me some videos. Maybe we can get into this. Why isn't there more urgency on this?
No, it's great. You make a great point and a great question. And when you said it's the lawyer corporate class. So the most powerful position on the Capitol grounds is the general counsel of the Capitol Police. That's the one that weaponized everything on January 6th. And then to pivot over to the SAVE Act, on a separate note, as the president of the Senate, I would recommend that J.D. Vance walk in there right now and say, all right, we're going to convene the Senate body and chambers. And he could stand there at the rostrum controlling the Senate and tell the uniparty Democrats and Republicans and tell them, guess what? Nothing happens in this body until the following takes place.
Right.
Number one, we hold a publicly facing vote on who you want as your Senate majority leader and minority leader.
Right.
That doesn't happen. Remember last time? They kept it under closed doors and under wraps because these senators don't want you to know who they vote for to be the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, because when they see how you voted, you're going to face a reckoning back home in your state because most of your constituents absolutely do not want a Senate Majority Leader Thune, who is a lackey of slash replacement of Mitch McConnell, right?
Yep, the turtle.
So that's number one. Exactly. Number two, if they want to pass the Save America Act, then like this whole 60 vote rule on the filibuster, this is a creation of the partisan structure of the Senate, not a constitutional position. So the constitutional position known as the president of the Senate can go in and say, you know what? We're going to hold the vote.
Right.
And if it's a 50-50 split, then I'm the tie break. But that's all that's required in order to pass the SAVE Act. And if members of the Senate try to reject and refute president of the Senate, J.D. Vance, then he's just going to stand up there and say, okay, great. Then we're not going to do anything. We're not going to pass the FISA bill 702. We're not going to pass any more spending bills.
Right.
We're not going to confirm any. We're not going to do anything. And guess what? J.D. Vance is what? Mid-40s? I think he can outlast any septuagenarian or octogenarian in the Senate chambers physically.
Yes.
In terms of, you want a filibuster? I think J.D.'s in the position physically, physiologically, to completely own them. They'll just be falling asleep. They'll be falling over. Mitch McConnell and others are going to be sent to the hospital because they're going to be dehydrated. They're not going to be able to withstand this battle, this intellectual constitutional battle in the Senate chambers. And it's really on Jay to do it. It doesn't require Donald Trump's authorization or permission. This is an authority and power that rests solely with J.D. Vance as the president of the Senate. So he doesn't need permission. He doesn't need authority. Oh, I got it. No, just do it.
Yeah, defend the issues that we voted for, right? Like, that's what we're calling for. Defend the things that we voted for in 2024. We want that, right? And, you know, I played clips in the first hour of J.D. making some very strong statements about Lebanon, making statements about, hey, Ben Gavir, not naming him, but that's the guy he's calling out. You better stop. We're the only superpower that's on y'all's side. And you better realize that real soon. We haven't heard this language the entire third term or second term, whatever you want to call it. We haven't heard this language at all. So for me, I think the impetus is on JD to really prove himself and to go out there into the wilderness, like into the lion's den, and to go do this and go give the filibuster. And you're right. And this is a point I always make to people when they go, it's so blackpilling. It's so doomer. We're not able to get motion. We got, you know, the guy who beat Thomas Massie. We got all, you know, these, you know, grown in a lab type candidates. Ed Gowron is the guy's name. What are we going to do? I tell you guys, just like you said, J.D. Vance is a younger guy. We're going to get new people. We're going to get people that are younger, people that'll listen to the electorate. Because right now, the older people, those octogenarians you talk about that are going to hopefully we'll get J.D. in there to filibuster against them. They can't stand up to it. Right. Go into that a little bit.
Right. They can't stand up to that physically and intellectually. I actually, yesterday, I bumped into one of the senators, I think Hoven, if I'm not mistaken, and asked him this specific scenario, what would you do and what would be your response if J.D. Vance actually did this? And I kind of alluded to it when I, in the hallways, I bumped into Senator Mike Lee, who I think is the one that probably understands the constitutional dynamics and parliamentary procedures and maneuvers closest to what I'm advocating right now, because he's already spoken a little bit about it.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to play the clip, we can kind of break
we'll go into
the clip.
Give a little intro. What are you about to show us here, Ivan?
Yeah. So what I just explained, I asked Senator John Hoeven if, what would he do if J.D. Vance came in there and essentially overpowered the Senate as president of the Senate and dictated that the vote on the SAVE Act would be voted on publicly, and all it would require is 50 votes. Because at the end of the day, it's, again, the Senate Majority Leader, the Senate Minority Leader are partisan positions, not constitutional positions. So he could overpower the rules of the Senate and just have a constitutional vote on a law, right, which only requires a 50-50 plus one. And that could apply to every single confirmation. If JD wants to be the nominee in 2028 and overpower Marco Rubio in the court of public opinion, he could just totally dominate by saying, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take charge. I'm going to go ahead and do this. And I'm also going to apply this to a vote on every single ambassadorial confirmation. Because guess what? The Secretary of State isn't even telling the president and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee chairman and the Senate Majority Leader that he only has like 15% of the nominations put forward that are confirmed to be ambassadors. Instead, we have basically 80 to 90% of the ambassadors out there throughout the world are Biden holdovers. So if the people that are saying, oh, Marco Rubio is great, guess what? 10, 15, 20%? That's an F, buddy. So JD could force confirmations. On the accountability front of the 94 U.S. attorneys throughout the country, we only have a few confirmations. That's where we get our accountability, America, is through the U.S. attorneys. Like I said in the video that I also sent you, we don't even have, as far as I checked recently, we don't have U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. If we want to hold John Brennan and company and James Comey and company and the weaponized CIA, the 51 spies who lied, and their entire ecosystem that is seizing documents from Tulsi Gabbard so that they're not disclosed, those that are freely treasoning still within our intel community, particularly the CIA, if we want to hold them to account, we probably want to have a U.S. attorney to criminally charge them for treason. But we don't even have that. Why? Because this White House is playing and they're not even playing checkers at this point.
Tic-tac-toe.
In terms of governing. They are playing jacks, if that. Exactly.
Tic-tac-toe, dude.
Tic-tac-toe is too advanced, bro.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that's so
insulting.
So
if they want to play chess.
Yeah.
If they want to play chess on my chessboard, Rex, that I just laid out to you, and that's not my chessboard. I say that facetiously. It's America's chessboard known as the Constitution.
Yes.
Then you might want to have attorneys or those that look into the dynamics of how do you wield power? Because guess what? We gave you the power. Now exercise it.
Okay. So here's the thing that I look at, right? You're talking about chess. We'll use that analogy. It's like they have a computer that shows them the right moves and they're like, I'm not moving the pieces. Like that's what we see a lot of. And I want to get into that next segment with you on Ukraine. I mean, I voted for Trump because I thought funding would be pulled on day one and little Zelensky would have to sign the peace treaty. We're not getting that. All of these things like the Iran war, for an example, the 12-day war.
No, it's because the president is not the most powerful position in America.
What
even
is?
Though Donald Trump thought it was, even though most of America thought it was. No. In terms of foreign policy, you could argue a little bit. The most powerful position on the planet is the U.S. Speaker of the House. Because that individual allocates $7 trillion annually into the global economy. That's a little bit more than even Elon Musk, who's a trillionaire right now. He's only a one trillionaire, right? For his lifetime of business activities. The Speaker of the House allocates $7 trillion or so annually while the Speaker of the House. And then after that, the President of the Senate, if they leverage their power, can go ahead and decide on who gets confirmed in the cabinet and who doesn't, right?
Right.
And then it's really up to the president to understand those dynamics, to actually sit down with the speaker, sit down with the president of the Senate. And if he wants, he can throw in John Thune in the mix in order to kind of leverage that.
Well, I do have a question.
Donald Trump knows how to make money for himself and his family, and he's good at it, right? He's a businessman. I haven't seen any modicum of governing prowess in the first term or the second term. It has solely been deep state is undefeated and he remains winless. And when he starts to listen to folks that lay out the answer sheet for the 100% solution, even just taking a little bit of it, maybe we'll secure a win or two so that, you know, he puts points on the scoreboard. for America.
It's terrifying thought that the most powerful person in the country might be Mike Johnson. That's quite a scary thought. I didn't even think about it like that, but you're 100% right. Controlling the budget, controlling the appointments, all of it. This is what we're dealing with. These are who these people are. And, you know, I saw Mike Johnson come out and say, I forget what the thing was. He was going to cut funding somewhere, right? And you get a clip of him one day, mm-hmm. and then the next, it's like he's seen Casper the Friendly Ghost, except he wasn't so friendly, right? What is up with Mike Johnson in the little bit of time we got left? You know, who's controlling this guy? Who's he party to, perhaps?
Yeah, so these are great questions. So my assessment of the whole situation, I think most of America realizes at this point after the Massey congressional race, which was the most expensive one. On one side, you have Bibi Netanyahu and Miriam Adelson that are essentially boxing in Donald Trump to do Bibi's bidding for him to remain in power. And he leverages the last two campaign managers for Donald Trump to do his bidding. When I say he, Bibi, okay?
Right, right.
So Brad Parscale, the Trump camp, he was the digital director for Donald Trump in 2016, the campaign manager in 2020. Well, he is Bibi's foreign agent in order to promote Bibi's talking points in America through conservative media. I mean, that's what we know as far as a foreign agent registration. Okay. On the other side, you have the other campaign manager from the 2024 campaign, Susie Wiles, who used to work for Bibi on his 2020 reelection campaign. That is essentially the liaison conduit on behalf of the big donor, Bibi aligned, Miriam Adelson aligned camp that right. ushered in the Donald Trump in his second term. And so Bibi is leveraging that entire ecosystem to place individuals that advise Donald Trump 100% on behalf of Bibi. And right. then he also leverages the Lindsey Grahams, flies them over to Israel to get advice on how to sweet talk and whisper sweet thoughts of manipulation into Donald Trump's ears, along with the Mark Levins,
yes.
and now the Laurel Loomers,
yes.
and then the Ben Shapiros. So that's one ecosystem. But when Donald Trump pivoted because he wants to have some sort of a peace deal, and he pivoted away from supporting keeping Bibi Netanyahu in power, what did Bibi do? He immediately ran over to his partners in the legislative branch. I already mentioned right. one. Lindsey Graham. He immediately leveraged the Israel lobby in order to be able to coerce, compel, and put fear in every single Republican by making an example of Thomas Massie that this is what happens when you go against Bibi Netanyahu. You know, the whole adage of those who bless Bibi will be blessed. Some people
right.
pronounce it those that bless Israel will be blessed, right? But really, let's face it. It's those that bless Miriam and Bibi will be blessed
those,
through financial. You
yes.
know, you just showed a few.
Yes. Those,
few photos
those who
of
help,
the money.
Those who help keep Bibi Netanyahu out of prison are blessed specifically. Like, and that's really like,
exactly.
that's what the genocide's about. That's what the war's about. The propagation of it all. They're committing crimes over there. And if we look for one second and said, hey, we're paying for all this and we can separate ourselves from it and focus on things at home and bring the country back. What? We're over here in the
right,
desert doing what? And like, this is why I love what Joe Kent said. Just declare victory and go home, right? And it looks like we're doing a version of that. We can debate how well that's going to work out, how well that's going to go. I'm seeing a movement in American foreign and domestic policy for the first time in the entire presidency, to be quite honest, in my opinion, that I view as positive. I want to keep moving that energy forward with Ivan Ranklin. We're going to talk about it. I want to talk to you after the break about the question of, is the president of the United States the most powerful man in the world, in the brief moment where he might actually still may be that? I'm going to give an example. I want to talk about the G7 conference a little bit and get into the Ukraine war
right.
with you. Thank you so much, Ivan Ranklin.
There's a lot more to unpack, too. Yep.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this break. Please share the live feed, repost, reshare. Alex Jones live in the alexjonesstore.com for that Methylene Blue you know and love.
Three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday, limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America, 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can, you know, promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday limited edition July 4th apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the American 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our CMOS. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But, I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. I congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water, one of the biggest things you can do to take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to, like, sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now, okay? This is... because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support and Bigley knocking it out of the park.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You know, I think a lot of the time we forget that our elected officials are not kings, they're not rulers, they're not even celebrities. They're public servants. They're supposed to work for us and do the things on our behalf as our elected representative in the government that procure and provide for us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I am talking to Ivan Ranklin today about all these things and more, but I wanted to lend credence to what he was saying about J.D. Vance, right? Because me, as someone who's hypercritical of the administration, who's reneged on both my support for Trump and Vance, I look at it as something that, like, hey, I'm finally getting what I was promised in 2024. Even if it's 1% of it, I'd like to see that tick up kind of like a battery. I'm not going to be overly negative or suppressive, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we want to be realistic here, right? And we can white pill and say it's so great. We might get out of the war, might be able to do these things. The reality is a reality of a retaliation of consequences, right? Because, you know, actions have consequences, and breaking from this U.S.-Israeli empire, New World Order, if you will, is going to possibly, you know, hurt some people very bad. We pray not, we hope not, but we've got kind of implicit threats. When Benjamin Netanyahu posts a photo of himself meeting with the head of Mossad, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that's not friendly. Right, Ivan?
Right, exactly. So a lot of people, when people look at the Israeli, Iran, United States involvement in Israel's war situation, this is what people don't discuss that needs to be discussed. Put your, I need everybody listening in to imagine you are Bibi Netanyahu. You've been in power for decades, and essentially if you step out of being the prime minister, you're going to be placed in jail, okay?
Yes.
And your entire legacy is completely destroyed. So understanding that, you want to retain power.
Yep.
And knowing the dynamics of the Knesset, you see that actually he's been delaying the no confidence vote that's been kind of on the agenda in the spring into the fall, this time frame, to remove him from office. And the vote comes down to, I believe it's, you need 61 votes in the Knesset. I'll have to do analysis again on this in order to initiate a no confidence vote against Bibi Netanyahu. Well, right now there's about 60 that, so there's about one vote shy of getting him over, getting the Knesset to move to remove Bibi Netanyahu via a no confidence vote as prime minister. The only way that Bibi slows that down or stops that from happening is he has to have American foreign aid funneled into his coffers so that he can dole some of that out to some of these members of the Knesset to make sure that they do not vote to remove him from office. And number two, the way you justify that globally to the American lemming Fox News viewing taxpayer,
right?
You go ahead and say that, oh, we're fighting a war against Iran, and that's why you need to send us foreign aid. So by having a peace deal with Iran, that removes the facade of having to send foreign aid to Israel. And that means by extension, you are now guaranteeing the removal of Bibi Netanyahu,
right?
Which means you're not blessing Bibi by doing this, Donald Trump. And that means you're not going to be blessed. Conversely, when you're not blessed, that means you get Charlie Kirked potentially. So that's, I think, the response
right
that could take place moving forward by Bibi Netanyahu if the America Firsters surrounding and advising Donald Trump have their our way. Bibi is going to want to respond up to and including kinetically in right order to preserve his position as the prime minister.
Right. What do
of
you,
Israel.
What do you think that might look like, though? Because that's a very harrowing question. Of course, you can say, well, you know, Trump, there's been a lot of suspicious assassination attempts. We don't know anything about crooks still. Don't know anything about the guy on the golf course who was a Ukrainian recruiter.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at the statement made yesterday by Dan Bongina. I mean, if you guys can pull that up.
What was the gist of it?
Dan.
We're working on it.
So the gist of Delicate Dan's statement yesterday, he said that, expect to see more violence, essentially. And he even named Erica Kirk. And he kind of couched it as though, if this is my last broadcast,
what?
I just want to put it on record that I'm not on the side of demons.
What?
And so I don't know what that means. That's kind of indirect signaling that there could be some sort of a false flag coming up. I wonder who paid him to say that.
Wow.
Well, if we go back to the foreign agent registration ecosystem, I wonder how much of that several hundred million dollars of money that was used by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Chief of Staff Aaron Shayevich of the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs, that is manipulating the American quote unquote conservative ecosystem to spew content on behalf of Bibi. You notice the pivot occurred immediately after the peace deal was announced.
Yes.
And who's part of the ecosystem pivoting in their messaging? Dan Bongina.
Yep.
Larry Loomer. Mark Levin, right?
Yep.
Everyone from, what is it? I think I heard somebody call it the Israeli Reich, right?
Yeah.
It's the Israeli Reich crowd that is pushing for this.
Yeah. No, 110%. I mean, that's the thing, you know, master race, chosen people, you know, where do you kind of draw the line at a certain level? Cause it's clear the interests of a Mark Levin, the interests of a Larry Loomer, a Ben Shapiro, these types of people that you mentioned.
It's really more accurate to call it the Bibi Reich, honestly.
Right. Well, you look at all these people and the things that they do, and you look at Salem Media and all that, and the guy that runs that is literally a registered foreign agent. And it's the,
Chief Strategy Officer, Brad Parscale, who used to be the campaign manager for Donald Trump in 20. Yep.
No, absolutely. You got it. Yeah. You look at all these people, kind of lost my train of thought there for a second. Look at all these folks coming out there. These are the folks that have been telling us, hey, you're a panicking. Hey, trust in Trump. Trust in Trump. Trust in Vance. What are you? You don't know what they know. You're not party to that information. We've just been holding the administration's feet to the fire and calling them out the entire time. You know, so like our position hasn't changed.
Rex, I don't know how many people you talk to in this administration across from cabinet level officials all the way down to the implementers. I think I talk into enough people, probably more than most people that are advising Trump at this point. But I don't want to disclose who I talk to, because if I did that, they would be gone within seconds of me disclosing that I talked to them.
Right, right. We have that Dan Bongino clip.
My relationships with them are predate this administration. Sorry, go ahead.
No, we got that Dan Bongino clip where, you know, where he's making the harrowing statements. What was it he said about demons really quick? What was that? Really quick?
Don't quote me on it, but I think what he said was, but I briefly kind of quickly looked over it. It was that he was not on the side of demons.
Wow.
So if you want to play it, it's probably more appropriate.
We're going to play it and do the review. I would just say the lady doth protest too much. It's like Hamlet. Okay.
Demons.
What are you talking about, dude? It's an admission of guilt. It's a Freudian slip. That's why I bring it up. Let's play that clip in full and react to it.
Don't worry about me. The only reason I'm even covering this beginning of the show is because when something else happens, I want to be sure you can look back on these episodes and go, Dan was right. He brought the evidence and the logic, and maybe we should have listened. I'm going to say it again. This is not some pity party for me. My life is wonderful. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for every blessing. I would change nothing. I am good.
Ooh.
I just want this all on the record because I'm sadly certain something else is going to happen.
Pause it. Any man who has to say, I am good, is not good. Like, they look like you have a gun, you know, behind the camera, and they're making him read lines. Like, it looks like a hostage scenario when he says something on the podcast. Like, how is
he supposed blessed
to
because, I mean, I always translate that into, I mean, he's probably blessing Bibi with these statements, right?
Right.
And so he will be blessed. But those that don't bless Bibi, particularly those from Babylon Bibi, they won't be blessed.
Right. Go ahead and play the rest of it.
I'm making a joke, obviously.
Yesterday, you've seen all the hysteria from the chatterbox talking head class with the I have secret knowledge. I have a lot of information, but no evidence.
Talking head class.
Sadly, the victim of a lot of this is Erica Kirk and others. As more threats materialize to her life. Now, I mean, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Her husband, Charlie, who we all knew, guys, you put that, report links anti-Christian extremism and assassination culture to alleged plot against Erica Kirk. Yeah, another one.
Here, pause it. And that's a good freeze frame because he's got his head down. He's like, man, I got to figure out what else I'm going to say. But he talks about these things. And my favorite Dan Bongino quote or clip is him saying, you know, you guys in the talk show media, you're just popcorn throwers, and the guys in the real arena that are sparring and hitting each other. And the thing is, it's sparring. It's a fake fight. Number one, he admits it. I'm quoting him verbatim, by the way. But he talks about it. You're a popcorn thrower now. This is popcorn throwing supreme.
He's part of the pundit class.
Yes.
I mean, and he always, notice how he always cites Phone News, the go-to. And there he goes, just going to town.
The tie kick, the jump
popcorn
kick.
Popcorn class.
Yeah, that's a crazy clip, man. That's wild.
Meanwhile, when confronted and asked the question of, why did you block me, Dan, delicate Dan Bongino, he runs off. And then he blocks more people. I don't know if you saw that a few months ago where
he blocked me.
I wanted to ask him the question, why did you block me, Dan? Because I saw him in person and he kind of waved it off and he got, I took ownership of his Twitter account for a couple weeks. All he did was post, memes of me.
He was obsessed with
and,
you.
Yeah.
For real. Okay. Go back to the clip.
Friends. Notice I didn't say folks here. I said friends. I did that for a reason. because there are some people here who are not our friends. You can watch like anyone else, but you're not our friends.
Yup. Howdy.
Erica Kirk watched her husband assassinated, murdered in the coldest of blood on basically what we would consider live TV these days, the internet. Sane, sound, moral, ethical people would empathize and feel really horrible to have a young man like that, a real patriot and a hero and an unbelievably good friend to me, to have his life cut short for some senseless ideological crap.
Pause it. Who is he convincing here? Who is he convincing himself of the, official story, official narrative? At a gut level, like my dad says, like I've been watching people talking to a camera and a microphone for literally as long as I've been alive. I don't buy one second of this. Like whatever he's selling me, I just can't buy it. Right. Like, I think that's a feeling a lot of people have about the official story. What are your thoughts?
No, so, I mean, I'm going to agree with him on many issues, right? Especially on this one. I mean, I don't know if you knew Charlie Kirk. I crossed paths with him on many occasions dating back to 2018. So when I saw that happen to me, I was furious, right? And a lot of people do the fight or flight response. I was pissed that happened to him. Cause that's kind of my initial gut reaction.
Of course.
In a kind of rage of fury because I couldn't do anything. Like I wasn't anywhere near it. Like I'm an action guy and unfortunately I couldn't do that. So. And you've noticed if people have been tracking me closely enough, I've never commented about all these things going out about, Erica Kirk. I've never met her, right?
Right.
And I don't go after women on really any issue. It comes down to, as a man, I'm a kind of traditional guy. I go after the biggest bullies that are out there, particularly if you're a man. And it happens to be Dan Bongino because he's been wrong and he's been weak on the issues. And so for me, while I agree with him that completely tragic what happened.
Sure.
How about we expend energy on finding out who did it?
Yep.
How it happened. And I get it. It's, the spouse. Erica can, forgive and forget. Well, I can choose my path as well. Right. And my path is I want to find out in detail so that it is compelling and convincing exactly what took place, regardless of where the chips fall. Okay. Now, it very well could be that a jury is going to be convinced that it was a 30-odd-6 that was just captured like a steel trap in his spine. If the forensics show it, whatever. I'm not convinced that that took place. I am of the opinion, and I haven't done as much deep dive research as a lot of folks that are out there. I've kind of stayed out of it. But what I did find intriguing as I did research on the pagers that were used by BB and his Mossad, right, that he just showed a picture of, they were the ones that deployed 1,000 pagers, which are a little bit larger in size than the Rode mic that was used by Charlie Kirk on that day. And those pagers were pretty effective, and all that was needed is, I think it was 3 to 6 grams of what's known as petin. It's an explosive. That's pretty dense, and it's pretty volatile and explosive, right?
Right.
So it begs the question. I used to teach intelligence analysis, and when you're doing a hypothesis, when you're trying to come up with a analytic conclusion on what took place on an intel question, in this instance, it would be what happened and how was Charlie Kirk killed? You have to come up with the most number of hypotheses and then rack and stack evidence to start excluding hypotheses on what could have taken place.
Right.
I don't see that our FBI has done that. There needs to be a maximum range of hypotheses. It could have been an acorn that exploded, right? I mean, obviously there's no evidence to support that. So then you start to like push away those hypotheses.
The thing is,
you want to first start off with the maximum number of hypotheses. And the one to me that hasn't been fleshed out fully and excluded and discounted as inconsistent is the, what if somebody used the same technology as in the pagers, compacted it in the mic, and then created that a small, tiny shape charge to create the physiological impact that took place in Charlie's body. a lot of more people are talking about that. And it would be nice to get an assessment, or not even an assessment, for the investigators to look down that path.
Right. And that's the thing.
But because that investigation is not being done, that is filled in by Candace Owens, by, I mean, you name the individuals.
Well,
I think Stu Peters went down that path, and other people are going down that path.
The thing is, when you tell people they're not allowed to ask questions, and like Dan Bongino, he says the Epstein files aren't real. And then he tells us to believe the official story. What's going on? That's the thing, is like, how many times are we going to get shown objective reality, what's in the files, and then told, oh, that's a nothing burger, it's not a big deal, Epstein actually didn't traffic anybody. And then you got Pam Bondi on footage, undercover tape, saying there's thousands of hours of footage. Oh, it's so horrible. And then you get her saying, oh, that was actually just child porn that Jeffrey Epstein had, that evil, sick man. We're never going to be able to release it because of that. And then you have a whole class of people on the internet, Michael Tracy, Andrew Wilson, these types of folks that do what I call Epstein apologetics, that say, oh, he's just a pervert, not really a PDF file, whatever. And they're emboldened and allowed to do that through Bongino, through the administration, saying that that's not real. I think people are outraged by that. I know I am, in the same way. Hey, Charlie Kirk, we got questions. You're not willing to answer them. You don't want to go down that road. Why? Why is that? Explain that to us. And they can't. They can't do it. We just got Dan Bongino doing the elbows, doing the tie kick, and telling us, you know, that don't be a popcorn thrower while he does mass media. And this is the reality of the modern administration. We want results. We don't want talk. Dan Bongino, he's put in as the deputy director of the FBI.
The deputy delegate.
Okay. Deputy delegate. Break
he's
that
so
down.
Delicate. No, delicate. As in very delicate. You know, the song by, her name? The famous singer. She got a song called Delicate. I can't remember the
delicate
name of these
Dan.
People.
Delicate Dan. Maybe two ply.
Yeah, because he blocks everybody that says something that is counter to what he was told to promote by his handlers.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the thing, is
absolutely,
like, these people, they put on the Patriot costume and they pretend to have agency, but they represent something else. Right. And that's the thing, is like, we may be flawed people, but we're real and we support America. Right. And we support America first. And what
exactly
that means is what we voted for in 2024. And I say this all the time because of how critical I am. I voted in 2024 on the basis of good policy. Good policy. They just have to actually be willing to implement it. What would you say?
Well, you're good. Yeah, go ahead.
No, what would you say to that?
Go ahead. I was going to say that your good policy is not good policy for the BB ecosystem,
yep,
my friend.
You're right.
I can't stress this enough.
Ooh.
Watch what Mark Levin does.
Yeah.
Watch what Dan Bongino does. Watch what Laura Loomer does. Watch what Ben Shapiro does. Watch what Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham do as it applies to this peace deal with Iran that Donald Trump is trying to actually sign off on.
Yes.
They immediately go back to their never Trump ways. Meanwhile, the OG Trumpers, I'm going to say it this way. I want people to start using this instead. Instead of like the MAGA versus America First, it was the OG MAGA folks actually stand for Make America Great Again. That's you. That's your dad. That's me. That's all the listeners here. The ones that are the new MAGA are the Miriam Adelson Governs America crowd. That's what their MAGA stands for.
Yep.
And that means that they have to support BB. And the MAGA or OG MAGA crowd is the America First crowd. But the Miriam Adelson Governs America crowd, guess what? They're more in line with her original country of citizenship. Well, her second, I guess, technically, because she was born in Palestine, but became a Israeli citizen when that state was created. Okay.
Wow.
So that's the differentiator, and you're going to see clearly that those that are trying to bless Bibi are the ones that are not trying to bless America.
Yes, I think that's a key distinction to draw. It's where do your true loyalties lie? You can't have dual loyalty. You're loyal to one or the other. That's biblical, right? Can't serve two masters and all of that. And, you know, it's really funny.
And that's why that's what Bibi's doing right now, is he's basically pivoting from trying to convince Trump, since Trump is essentially rejected the movement towards a perpetual endless war with Iran. And instead, Bibi's going and trying to influence the members of the House Armed Services Committee. And when everybody started yelling and screaming, we don't want to have a joint agreement and essentially fusing the U.S. military with the IDF. Then what did, another person, what did Bibi do then? He went over to good old boy Tom Cotton, on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence to fuse intel so that you couldn't avoid sharing intelligence with Bibi. And guess what happens next? Next thing you hear as, what's his name? Pulte, who's supposed to be the incoming acting director of national intelligence as early as tomorrow, wink, wink. I'm hearing that Tulsi's last day is today, meaning it already occurred.
Right.
And so Bill Pulte was rejected by the entire uniparty establishment in the Senate. And instead, the uniparty said, oh, Jay Clayton, we'll support Jay Clayton to be the director of national intelligence. And even Tom Cotton, the chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, said, let's have a hearing and we'll just kind of run him through quickly, just like we did with John Ratcliffe, the Mossad stenographer, right? Is Jay Clayton also going to be a Mossad stenographer? I wonder if that's going to be the case. Based on indicators, I would say so. And that's why they're trying to push him through. And maybe Donald Trump realized that, oh, maybe we got something here. Let's get Pulte in there so that he can declassify everything that Tulsi was trying to, but was not able to because of John Ratcliffe and Aaron Lucas and Michael Ellis, the deputy DNI and the deputy CI directors were blocking from being released. And so now Pulte, who doesn't have political aspirations, could go in there, scorched earth, just like Rick Grenell did in the first term, and declassify everything and potentially create more criminal referrals that Todd Blanche is probably not going to act on.
What do you think in closing on Section 224 and the threat that poses to our country, having an executive agent, you know, kind of a Secretary of War equivalent that answers to that guy and that guy alone above everyone else at DOD?
Yeah, so just to kind of add on to what I just said, BB sees that Trump is backing away from supporting him, and so he has to find another mechanism, meaning the legislative branch, to go ahead and pass laws to make sure through the Speaker, Mike Johnson we talked about, through John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, unless J.D. Vance steps in, to go ahead and pass laws that fuse that unlimited funds, sends money over to BB to keep him in power,
right,
and then also undermine our national security. And I think more and more people are saying it. I'm glad Elon and you guys is allowing us to talk about this. You guys are talking about it. I think enough people are now waking up within the Republican, or I guess conservative voting base, that we don't like it.
Yeah.
And it's no longer taboo to say BB bad, right?
100%.
And seeing what he's doing.
Yeah, we want an end to it. We want an end. We want to separate and be our own constitutional republic again, not a part of somebody else's empire. Thank you so much, Ivan Ranklin, for covering the waterfront with me. I really do value your time and your experience. And you're actually up there on the Hill confronting these swamp creatures about the things they actually need to be doing. I really do appreciate that. Everyone follow Ivan Ranklin at Ivan Ranklin on X right there.
Your heart for truth and justice in a sea of retards, cowards, and traitors.
Amen to that.
Washington, D.C.
Amen to that. It was great to see you up in Grand Rapids, man. I really appreciated our time together.
Same.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you so
much. Thanks for having me on, Rex.
All right, take it easy. That was Ivan Ranklin. I'm going to be getting into the Ukraine war after we come back from break in the third hour. Looking forward to getting into all of that with y'all. So much more news to cover. I'll be here, your host, Rex Jones, of the Alex Jones Network War Room.
Folks, Doc Bigley here, and today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are.
But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me.
I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, They're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I've got a lot of serious news to cover here in this third hour. This is not fun, happy stuff. This is not stuff that we're aspiring to or stuff, you know, that represents policy that we voted for. I'm here to talk to you, of course, about the escalation in the Ukraine-Russia war. Ukraine is firing long-range missiles and drones into Russia. They have struck Moscow. The city is on fire. I'm going to show you some really crazy footage of missile interceptions, gas infrastructure, LNG infrastructure being blown up. Everything we voted against, everything that Trump said he was going to end on day one or before day one when he became president-elect, he said one phone call and it's over. And to reflect, you know, on the history, I went over it a little bit with Ivan Ranklin, but we mostly talked, you know, about, you know, domestic U.S. policy and, of course, foreign policy is downstream of that with the corruption and everything. I want you to keep in mind, in March of, I believe, it's just, it happened so long ago, is it 2022 or 2023 that the Ukraine-Russia war started? At that time, 2022. In March of 2022, the Istanbul Peace Accords were there. Zelensky was about to sign them, okay? Recognizing the Donbass as independent states, not even a part of Russia as I understand it, and it would have been all over. What happens? Boris Johnson flies over from the UK with NATO backing, with our backing, that's implicit. Of course, Zelensky's our guy that we set up, leading from 2014, the Maidan coup and all that. Look that up and learn your history. Gilbert Doctorow, I would highly suggest reading his books as well. They have this peace deal, this peace accord that's on the table. It gets torn up because we, NATO, promise to back Zelensky to the hilt. And so far, 1.5 million people, probably more, are dead, probably a lot more casualties as well. And Ukraine has been completely hollowed out. It is a rump state. It is a failed state. It is propped up by billions in Western dollars, whether those are EU or that comes from us directly. If you look at it, they've received like $300 billion from us. They've received a lot more money from the Europeans. The Europeans recently issued them a $1.3 billion loan. And that loan is leveraged with the credit of, oh, when you beat Russia, we're going to take Russian assets and that's what we're going to use to repay it. I mean, like, this is complete banana republic stuff. This is failed state stuff. Like I said, it's not real because, of course, the goal of all of this is the corporate takeover of Ukraine. Right? That's what all of this is about. This is about Larry Fink, Jared Kushner, and Steve Witkoff coming into the country and meeting with Zelensky. And dividing the corpse up, saying we're going to have the Afghani migrants here, the Sudanese migrants there, we're going to have the mines there, we're going to have the farms there. Your whole native population, the sperm bank of Ukraine, destroyed, depleted, gone forever. And, you know, replaced with the new Globo Homo state. Isn't that nice? Isn't that cute? Liberal, 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 happy, fun, la, 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 human smuggling, fentanyl deaths, forced government euthanasia. You know, we all know the classic Alex Jones bit there. That's who really is in charge. That's who's really in power. We talked about Ivan Ranklin saying they're blessed by Bibi, and those that bless Bibi will be blessed. I mean, there's no better example than right there. This is a unique time in America where we have like four or five different secretaries of state. This has never been heard of or seen before, but these are the men, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, that go into the country. They meet with Larry Fink. They meet with Zelensky, and they decide what's going to be done. The Ukrainians don't. You don't at home, the person who voted against funding all of this, just like me. That's me. I'm that person. None of us have any influence at all. It's the people in power. And the people in power are not even really people anymore. They're entities. They are entities that eat countries alive. Okay? They swallow countries whole and they convert them into billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they have a vision of a third world that is the whole world, where they have under 500 million people that are all serfs, that are all slaves, that work for them. And that is what the modern Ukrainian project is all about, ladies and gentlemen. That is it distilled into its purest form. It is global homo. The prior population of Ukraine, I think it was like 45 million or something lower than that, 35 million. Now it's like 25, with more leaving every single day. And why would you stay when you're going to get conscripted? They're going to take you to the front line and you're going to get blown up by an FPV drone. This is the reality of modern warfare. It is ugly. It is a dead body. It is hell. War has always been hell. We do not support it on this network. Anti-war coverage coming right up. Rex Jones News on Twitter with the Z. Follow me, Rex Jones News on Twitter.
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it.
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
We have footage of some of the harrowing attacks on Moscow today. I'm going to go ahead and get that up. I want people to see this. Clips 15, 16, 17, 18. I mean, it's just the same stuff we saw in Tehran. Basically, another nation's capital targeted, hit by Western forces, imperial powers. Take a look at this right here. Drone comes in, intercepted. That's warfare. You know, that's death. That's murder. You know, that's targeting another nation's capital. That's an act of war. This is potentially something that could be the catalyst to start World War III. Some would say World War III already happened. We're already in World War IV. That person would be my father, Alex Jones. I have to agree with him. Look at the wreckage. Look at the waste and pollution and destruction that war creates. Why do we have to fund this? Why do we have to do this? And we do. Make no mistake, they're targeting data. Their satellites, their internet they use for their drone fleet. Zelensky says they're going to have 10 million drones by next year. All of that comes from us. It's our infrastructure. That poison cloud of acid dust and oil rain that's going to rain over a city of God knows how many million people, that's going to result in cancer, birth defects, and unknown deformities for years and years to come, just like East Palestine, Ohio, here at home. Somehow that's okay to do to these people. But, you know, we wouldn't tolerate it if somebody blew up Washington, D.C. or New York. Look at what happened with 9/11. Go ahead and show that one with the big explosion. Look at this. Only God knows how much this thing weighs. The tiny hat thing, where it, not that one, the explosion where it's the billowing smoke cloud and has like the oil cap on top of it. It looks like a tiny hat. We were laughing about it in the break room before we went live. I mean, people don't get this. That thing probably weighs like 100 tons, if not more. And you see it fly up in the sky. Like, you know, it's a little piece of paper or a paper airplane that a child tossed, and then it comes crashing down, and we watch the footage, just like we've seen the footage of Gaza, of Lebanon, of the West Bank, of Iran, the attacks on the school, the bridge infrastructure, all of it. And we go, this is satanic. This is inhumane. This is wrong. Okay? There's still a rail line that goes from Western Europe into Ukraine that all these rich world leaders take to go party in Kiev with Zelensky. And go to God knows what in the bathroom with the bottle of powder. You know, it's just, it's absolutely disgusting. Go ahead and go to clip 19, but not go to the clip. I want you to show me the attached tweet from Zelensky, and I'm going to read it in voice. Let's go ahead and get that up there on screen. It's going to be clip 19.
I am Zelensky. I want nuclear weapon and all my citizens to die. I will replace them with third world immigrant. Why am I wearing suit? I do not wear a suit. I am homeless crackhead who played president on TV and they elected me to be president. And I want nuclear weapon to use on Russia.
This is Zelensky. This is what Zelensky does. This is what he's proud of. Look at this. Look at that. That thing weighs like over 100 tons. Look at it fall like paper. Look at that city burn. And imagine if someone did that to us here. I think it's clip 20. Maybe we can go to it. And the one that got deleted, we don't have to care about that one. Let's go ahead and cut to clip 22. I want to show you his backers. I want to show you, oh, the friends, the liberal friends fighting against the evil empire of Russia. Oh, I'll go ahead and read that one really quick. This is fine, actually. Leave it up. I don't want to bounce around too much. What's that white baggie there on the table? What's going on here? What's that? Oh, they're sitting down. They're going to do a little presser. They're having fun. They're all smiling. You know, ninjas always got to show their teeth. As a CGA says, Coach Greg Adams, big fan of him. Just kidding. Check this out. Oh, look at that white bag. Oh, got to hide that. I wonder what that could be. That couldn't be a little Bolivian marching powder now, could it? Could that be the cocaina that Zelensky is known to reportedly, allegedly love so much? Certainly not. These couldn't all be a league of Hunter Bidens now, could they? They're the leaders of the free world. Isn't that a funny joke? The EU, they replaced their own people with people all around the world after they destroyed their countries, right? And the native population is a second-tier citizen. You don't have rights. And then they take you to war, too, to kill you, to get rid of you, and to fully initiate the replacement. They say, hey, you know, we're German, we're UK, we're British, we're Irish, we're Welsh, Scottish, whatever, right? But after this war, we're not going to be any of those things because we're all going to be dead, right? And that's what they tell the young people to sign on to. A lot of the young people over there in Europe are awake, but a lot of them still sadly fall for the propaganda. And with a parliamentary system of government the way that they have, you know, a lot of onus is put on us having the two-party system, and I'm not a fan of it either. I want a third party, or I really do. I wouldn't call myself a Republican, certainly not. Not a Democrat. I'm not a donkey. I'm not an elephant. I'm a human being, right? But when it comes to all of these people, when it comes to all of these things, and I totally lost my train of thought there for a second, but now I'm remembering what I wanted to say. When it comes to all of these people and all of these things, it doesn't matter whether you're identifying as a Democrat, identifying as a Republican. Both of the establishments in those parties support these wars. And they support people like Mertz, people like Starmer, the people around that table, the prime minister and all of that of these various, you know, EU nations that are beneficiaries of us, that we pay for their entire defense budget so they don't have to and they can pretend, you know, to be liberal and loving. Well, that ain't working anymore because the dollar is weak and the dollar is going down. And everyone that's been a vassal state of the U.S. empire moving forward, they have to decide, are we going to become even more slavish to try to get more approval, more weapons? Or are we going to have to reconsider these insane wars we're involved in, like the Russia-Ukraine war where they're making drones and sending them into Ukraine and then expecting Russia not to hit them back? Are they going to keep doing that to their people? Are they going to keep replacing their people? Are they going to keep doing it to all of us around the world by funding this BS war against Russia? And like, this is the thing. We look at Israel, Gaza. We look at Israel, Lebanon, Israel, Iran. That's evil. That's unconscionable. That's our sick, delusional, twisted fantasy, right? That's our chemical romance. But when it comes down to what's happening over in Ukraine, these are the Europeans pushing this. These people have no military. And I criticize the United States military. You know, we may have lost this war and we have lost this war 100%. At least we had the bombs and the missiles to drop when we did it. Everything the EU gets, everything that NATO gets is downstream of us. And that is the mafia racketeer protection deal that is the United States of America. You pay us money, we give you our military systems, you use our military systems how we want you to and to defend yourself. That's the scam, that's the reality. So for the Don to say, hey, I don't want your protection money anymore, I don't want your military money anymore, that's why the divorce is so difficult, right? Because Trump, sadly, above being the peace president and the peacemaker and all this, he's a businessman. He thinks about money, he thinks about getting rich, and he thinks about the country and says, you know, hey, as long as I'm not dropping the bombs, I'll sell them to you. Well, newsflash, Trump, if we're selling them the bombs, then we're also doing it. If we're selling them the parts to make drones, then we're also doing it. If we're providing the targeting data and the telemetry, certainly we're doing it. Get that footage back up for a second. Look at this stuff. Look at it.
look at this person. Can you believe it? I said I didn't like war, but it seems like I like war quite a lot.
Look at this, guys. We pay for it. You pay for it. You eat it. Go ahead and get that EU 106 billion wartime loan article up. The money that has been given to these people is not even real. Okay, it's just like Iran, the Iran war, where it's like a $500 billion conflict. If you look at what the West has put in between 200 and 300 billion, God knows how much more dark money there was besides that, right? Look at what the Europeans have done with this reported 106 that they're going to get through, or however much it is. Yes, 106. You look at what Zelensky says. Yes, I'm going to make 10 million drones with that money. I'm going to do whatever with that money. How is this not economic warfare? How is this not declaring war on Russia? If you pay somebody else to commit the crime, aren't you guilty of the crime as well? I really, really, really don't get it. Go ahead and go to Zelensky and go to clip 23. We will produce 10 million drones this year.
That's why in this case, we are better than on middle strikes, as I said, and long range, we are better. We now we will produce about 10 million drones during this year, and but we can double.
We make drones.
And this
double.
Is also, I think, good news from our perspective, and it's good news first of all from our industry.
When Lindsey Graham comes to Kiev, you know, I say,
why did it turn French? I lost the ability to do the impression.
I need nuclear weapon. I am Zelensky. When Lindsey Graham comes to town, I put on giant Cookie Monster costume because he tells me to. I am little Zelensky.
Play him again.
Direction. So this is also good. Good sanctions began to work. Not enough sanctions.
Good sanctions.
And good that 90 billion, we've got 90 billion decision. And it's very helpful. I mean, it's great European support.
Okay, so he's talking about sanctions. I think we passed 19 sanctions packages on Russia. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. And the second the Iran war started, we lifted those. Or into the Iran war, I guess I should say we lifted those, right? Because we had to stabilize the global oil market. Now, go back to the footage, the B-roll, just to show the explosions and all of that while I talk about this. Okay? So you would think, as the United States of America, the greatest nation in the world, the greatest country in the world, that we wouldn't want to be involved on the losing side. Right. And that's kind of, you know, the narrative around the Iran war is that we've already won. It's kind of the same with the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians are losing territory and losing men, but we're told that survival is the victory. How long does that last? And how many more provocative attacks like this one can you issue? You're going to make 10 million drones this year. You're going to kill 10 million people. What are you going to do with those, Mr. Zelensky? I want to go to Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov responding in clip 24. Clip 24 really quick, and that's Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov. I'll read the subtitles to it. I have long been convinced that words are not enough. It is no coincidence that the president announced some time ago, after yet another act by the Kiev terrorist, Zelensky, that we will now conduct massive group strikes on a regular basis against targets whose condition directly affects the combat readiness of the Ukrainian armed forces. This task has been set forward by the Supreme Commander-in-Chief, Mats Putin. Our armed forces are fulfilling it and will continue to fulfill it. So they got people in Russia. They got a guy named Kuraganov who already is gathering a lot of support for launching or displaying the use of a nuclear weapon. Okay? Because of things like this, imagine what would happen if Washington, D.C. got blown up. How would we as America respond? Well, Russia's over there dealing with a Cuban missile crisis in the modern age where, you know, the Russians tried to put missiles in Cuba that almost resulted in World War III or nuclear war, whatever you want to say. This is the modern equivalent. Ukraine is the country where they've had the second most NATO exercises in all of Europe, and it's not a NATO country. Okay? When Russia dissolved the Warsaw Pact in 1991, NATO turned around and added 12 countries to itself after promising not one more inch over the red line. Right? So what are you supposed to do if you're in a situation where you're being bombed, you're being attacked, you're fighting this war, and the war's not going to end until they take the Donbass because those people are being shelled and killed by the Ukrainians before the war even started. That's true. That's a verifiable fact. What are you supposed to do when you're being attacked, you know, by Western powers, And you're not allowed to do anything, you know, about the actual infrastructure. It's bringing these people in. Like I mentioned earlier, they have the rail line that comes into the country via Western Europe. All right. They're blowing up Russia's capital right now. Russia still hasn't blown up that rail line. Right. So I think we're going to see escalations into things like that. I think we're going to see more intelligence and military centers targeted. The Ukrainians are making drones inside of people's homes and houses. It's a small industry. That's not Russian propaganda. You can go on TikTok and watch them do it. They're very proud of it. Okay. Is that a civilian target? I don't know. Maybe Putin and Lavrov will start asking those questions. What did we want? What did the Americans want? Just like Iran, to not be involved, to not fund it. And I take you back. I take you back to 2022, March, the Istanbul peace agreements that Zelensky was about to sign. But we, the Western Empire, prevented him from doing so. This is all our fault. We are responsible for it. Just like the dead kids in Lebanon, just like the dead kids in Gaza, just like the dead kids in Iran, it's U.S. money that goes to these things, U.S. infrastructure that goes to these things, U.S. power that gets projected and used up, blood and treasure, and for what? Like I said earlier, to hollow out a state so Larry Fink and BlackRock can take it over. Get that back up. Isn't that interesting? He's touching a wall there. Well, what's up with that wall? We got all these people, you know, whether they're in the House, in the Senate, the presidency, all around the world, Malay too, all of them. What's up with them touching that wall over there? What does it make you Superman? Do you get special powers, or does it bless you? What is a blessing? Does it say, you must be pro-war, you must be anti-peace, you must destroy other nations? Is that what the wall says? Because everybody that touches the wall seems to do that stuff, right? Isn't that a little bit odd? Isn't that a little bit confusing? But, like, Zelensky is such an onus, heinous character. All these people are, look, Hillary's touching the wall. I mean, I can't even get into it, okay, to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. It just, it grinds my gears to see this kind of behavior and to see that we haven't left it yet, that we haven't left nations that do this to us, that behave this way. Why are we doing this? Generation upon generation of American leader showing up to that wall, worshiping it, praising it, telling, oh, wall, I love you. Please donate to my super PAC. Give me political donations. I promise I'll let you bomb innocent civilians in Gaza. I promise. I promise. It's an old Roman fort. It isn't even a part of the temple. This is known. But just like in Israel, we can't get a DNA test because, oh no, might find out you're not Semitic. Can't question that. And that's the official story. That's the magic. Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Regime change. That's what it was always about. Iran never wanted a nuclear weapon. They banned it in 2003. But when that wall starts talking and that wall starts filling your head with ideas about the nuclear weapon, I guess you just got to say it. Like, do they get body snatchered? Like invasion of the body snatchers when they touch the wall and they turn into that guy. Is that what happens? Is that what we're dealing with here? Maybe I'm a fool to hope for peace and hope for something better. I wanted to get into this. We can show B-roll of it, of Operation Spider's Web. This happened last year. This is another example of insane Western aggression. This is an attack that we helped them with. Yeah, that's what happens when you touch the wall right there. That's what happens. Ben Shapiro, I watch Mark Levin.
Hezbollah and Hamas.
What happened?
Hezbollah and Hamas. Hezbollah.
Okay, that's a little bit funny. But yeah, I wanted to talk about Operation Spider's Web for a second. Talk about another example of this insane escalation. Last year, we helped the Ukrainians target their nuclear triad, target the Russian nuclear fleet of bombers. Look at this. Okay, this is an attack on another nation's nuclear program. This is something that had to be done in part or in whole with backing from either British, American, or just the whole Five Eyes Western intelligence system, right? They got Russian drivers to drive 18-wheelers they didn't know anything about deep into Russia by the bombers. And a part of the bombers being out, you might say, well, that's pretty stupid for old Putin to have the bombers out. It's pretty stupid for that guy to do that. Good on the Ukrainians. That's a good military right there. The reason why the planes are parked out in view so everyone can see them, that's a part of a nuclear arms treaty that's saying, hey, we're going to be in the spirit of not wanting nuclear war. I got my cards on the table. You got yours. Guess what? The New START treaty that the Russians wanted us to re-sign, not doing that anymore. We violate every single prospect of international law. And these are treaties that we set up. These are deals that we make and we agree to. Get the footage back up there. The drones literally come out of the 18-wheelers and blow up the bombers. And this has already been memory holed because something new happens every single day. But look at the reality of this on the ground. And realize, again, my whole point with all this, we're paying for it. We're the ones that do it. It's our reality, okay? It's not their reality, and, like, we act like we're divorced from it, because, like Otto von Bismarck said, we have weak neighbors to our north and south and fish to our left and right. Yes, that's true, but in a world of the internet, in a world of the plane, in a world of the ballistic missile, none of that matters much anymore. Do you not see that when we pay for it, we're culpable? Wow. And like Zelensky said, they're going to make 10 million drones. What do you even use 10 million drones on? There's entire portions of Ukraine that are just covered in fiber optic cable, right? You know, entire just giant miles upon miles upon miles of land that's impassable. It truly is, you know, a modern World War One. I look at the drones in warfare like I look at chemical weapons in World War One. I think they should be banned. It's inhumane. You see some of the footage come out, and it's from both the Russian and Ukrainian side. And you have these soldiers, you know, that are just, you know, lying in a creek bed somewhere, hiding behind a tree, scared for their life. They can't do anything. You hear the vroom, vroom, vroom. You hear that thing come in? It's over. Or, you know, you're in a riverbed. You're dying. I watched this video. I think it was a Russian soldier. And the Ukrainian drone operator is tormenting him, flying the drone around his head, buzzing over, down, up and down, over and over and over again. And then finally it flies into his face. And that's where we are. That's what we're complicit in. That's what we pay for. Wouldn't it be nice that instead of this warmongering empire that we've become, where we have to, you know, use the fancy toys that we spend all our money on every single year, wouldn't it be nice if we could be the biggest proponents of peace around the globe? Wouldn't it be nice if we could bring justice and freedom and liberty? Wouldn't it be nice that instead of funding Ukrainian attacks on Moscow or Israeli attacks on Gaza, Lebanon, and Iran, wouldn't it be nice if we could blockade the UK and bring them some free speech, bring them some Second Amendment? You know, restore their country, bring their country back. Cause, you know, they're the ones really being oppressed. You know, people over there in the EU, it's your leadership, this dictator class that is bringing you into these wars to kill you and replace you. That is what all of this is about, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go ahead and take calls on the last segment. I covered the waterfront here today. The number to call into, I should have told you guys to get it ready. I apologize. Are we ready for that? Okay. Number to call in. I want to hear what you got to say on the Ivan Ranklin interview, the war, the J.D. Vance coverage, the Mark Levin coverage. 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. Really looking forward to talking to you guys after this break coming up. But I do want to take calls. We covered a lot, so I want to get I want to narrow it down. Two topics. I want to hear what your impression is of J.D. Vance moving forward, like after the stuff we've covered today, referencing Mark Levin, referencing Ben Shapiro versus his position, kind of the angel devil on Trump's shoulder dynamic. Is that real? Is J.D. Vance just another devil? Is it real? Is he milquetoast? Is he another Jeb Bush? I want to hear from you on that. I also want to hear from you on the Ukrainian news that I just covered with the bombing of Moscow and how people feel. I know we got a lot of like Trump supporters, Trump voters in the audience. How people feel about that and Trump's initial promise to take us out of that war. Because, like, that's, my dad always says, I'm going to hold Trump's feet to the fire. And that's fine, right? And that's a fine phrase to use. And I used it with Ivan Ranklin. What about holding him accountable, right? Like, what about accountability for these people? I want to hear what the electorate has to say. I want to hear what the voting public has to say about that. The number to call in, of course, that's 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. And I do want to remind you, thealexjonesstore.com is the place to get all the finest vitamins, minerals, supplements, apparel, belts, t-shirts, hats, knives, you name it. We've got it all available and more at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're interested in a formula that I created, two formulas actually that I created, I want you to go check out the Power Drive bundle. That's Methyl Drive and Power Plant. Power Plant is kind of an exercise activator agent, works in concert, methylene blue, boosts ATP, oxygen utilization, boosts dopamine, norepinephrine in the brain. Combine that with the power of Methyl Drive, containing, of course, the all important CoQ10. And PQQ, used for mitochondrial biogenesis, electron transfer chain support, and so much more. That's the Power Drive Bundle, 120 capsules, 30 servings. It'll really, really change your life, especially if you're a guy and you're already taking methylene blue. That power plant, you can just get it on its own. It's amazing. It raises free testosterone and total testosterone. It's got agents in there that promote dopamine, norepinephrine, make exercise feel amazing, combined, of course, with the cordyceps mushroom. We all know about this bestseller for many, many years, now available for you here at thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you so much. I'll be right back after the break.
Tell your friends, and you can get Alex to the Alex Jones app as well, alexjonesapp.com. You know, especially you young people, the Zoomers listening to me, go help your grandparents. I literally, when I was in Colorado, was like installing the app on my grandmother's phone, doing the shortcut to the Rumble channel so she could always find the live stream. Technology's moving. We're moving with it, and we got to make sure to pull everybody along with us. And of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have incredible products there. I'm kind of a sucker for all of the products that we have at thealexjonesstore.com because they're all awesome, and it's like it's not a thing I'm getting paid to do, right? Like I could always carry around my old wallet, but I got the new wallet because it's so awesome and I've been so happy with it the entire time. Now we have these premium nylon tactical belts available at thealexjonesstore.com. They're only $39.99, and they are of equivalent design, quality, standards, aesthetics. Just amazing stuff. You will never be disappointed with the quality of items at thealexjonesstore.com. Whether it's the supplements or the gear like this, it's always top-notch, just like we try to keep our coverage always top-notch. Might be an ironic thing to say for a belt that has no notches. It is a heavy-duty nylon webbing with smooth automatic ratchet buckle, so there's no holes, no notches, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You just adjust it to exactly where you want it, and it stays there. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit, whether you're out working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. We've got three unique designs, the Cross Edition, the 1776 Edition, and the Alex Jones Signature Edition. You can get each one of these for under $40, but for a limited time, you can get all three designs bundled together for only $99. If you want my advice, they make fantastic gifts, so if you want one, go ahead and get all three. And then give your least favorite two out as gifts. Or heck, buy six and give three of them out as gifts. And of course, the America 250 birthday limited edition 4th of July apparel sale is on. Folks, 4th of July is coming up quick. You're not going to want to be out there wearing like a purple shirt, right? You're going to want to be decked out head to toe in the most patriotic gear you can find. And the best place to get it, hands down, is the AlexJonesStore.com. This collection right now is 30% off. So again, you're running out of time to get this before July 4th, so it's delivered and you can wear it with pride on Independence Day coming up very, very quickly. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the America 250 limited edition 4th of July apparel collection. It's 30% off right now. We also have gravity fed water filter systems back in stock because we are at the end of the day. But humble water filter salesman here trying to both provide, because it's always the way we've been. You've got to not just combat this stuff at the political level. You've got to protect yourself in the meantime. In other words, they put chemicals in the water. We want to be activists. We want to be protesters. We want to be running for office to get that changed, to get the stuff removed from the water. In the meantime, filter your water. It goes like that. Destroying tyranny since 1776. Betsy Ross snake t-shirt. It's like, how many band logos can you put on a single shirt? How many logos that would get you kicked out of the U.S. military or investigated by the FBI can we put on a shirt? Because believe it or not, that is the state of freedom of this in this country, at least a few years ago. Do you remember there was a serial, like a list of symbols that had been banned by the U.S. Army for, you know, extremist ties? Embrace freedom and our symbols and our history. Unapologetically, proudly, and by going to the AlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Bringing in the classics here on War Room Live. I'm your embattled host, Rex Jones, on the Alex Jones Network. Alex Jones Live, repost, reshare the stream, repost, reshare the clips, two of today, a lot of funny clips referencing Mark Levin, some serious ones with Ivan Ranklin as well. Really appreciate everybody holding on the line. Really quick, I want to let the audience know, it's Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter, Rex Jones News on Twitter, and then it's Gray Area Talks, that's my evening show, and New American Journal, that's my morning show. I want you to go ahead and go follow, subscribe to all those accounts, YouTube, Rumble, X, you name it. My personal Instagram, Rex Jones News with a Z, go ahead and follow me there as well. I'd really appreciate it. I really love you guys, and I'm thankful for all the support that I've been getting from the audience, but we've covered a lot of news today, covered domestic, foreign policy, of course, the escalation in Ukraine. I want to get to the callers now. I want to talk to Bart in Georgia first. Bart in Georgia, how are you doing?
Hey, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I want to get to this never-ending war in Iran. Well, there's a reason these wars never end, because people are getting filthy rich off it. Howard Lutnick. And you know what? If we cut off the intelligence, this war will be over in 24 hours. And you know what? This is like giving money to a degenerate gambler when he's on a losing streak.
Yep.
This has got to end. And you know what? I hate to keep bringing this up, but I think Trump is still under the influence of scopolamine, devil's breath. Thank you.
No, we talked about that earlier. Stay on the line. You don't have to go away. There is clearly some sort of coercive element on Trump. Right. And Joe Kent even hints at this. He goes, I don't know what it is. It's got to be something dark. Basically, it is that unknown element. And I don't think it's out of the question that he could be drugged or sedated. They could be doing something to him. And the thing is, I always looked at Trump as a mixed bag. Right. I always looked at him as a guy that had his own personal motive and profit and interest in whatever. But maybe he wanted to be loved so badly that he would save the country. That's what I always believed. So if they've got an old man and they're keeping him sequestered and they're keeping him, you know, in a sedated state and they're doing all these things to him, it could be that or many other causes. I think, what's your view on, like, what was your position, Bart, on the Ukraine conflict? And then, like, how did that impact your 2024 perspective?
Well, I believed Trump when he said he was going to end the war, and he's broken his word, because, like I said, by cutting off the intelligence alone, the war would be over in 24 hours, because they're like a degenerate gambler that's going to lose everything. Don't pour more money into them.
No, 100%. 100%. Totally agree. Thank you for the call, Bart in Georgia. And, like, these are the things that everybody's saying, right? Is, like, why aren't we out of here already? Why are we doing this? What's wrong with Trump? And, like, that was my dad's feeling, you know, coming into a lot of this, having to deal with, you know, Trump really betraying us on a wide number of issues. Is, like, why are you doing this? What is the cause? And my co-host in the morning, Anthony Graffio, he thinks that, you know, Trump is the moon child and that, you know, like, there's an ancient ritual, bloodline prophecy, whatever. I don't buy that. My afternoon co-host, evening co-host on Marquee Show Gray Area, Tim Tompkins, he's like, you know, it's all profit motive and he's figuring things out this way, that way. You know, both of those perspectives, you know, I don't understand why it couldn't be, you know, 10, 20, 30 different things. I think there's so many factors. It reminds me of the old Simpsons bit where Mr. Burns goes to the doctor, right? And the doctor does all these tests on him and, like, pokes a needle through his arm and, like, the needle just comes out the other side and, like, he's made out of gelatin, basically. Like, he blows into the thing they use to test your lungs and he like, sucks all the air out of himself and all this comical stuff. But the doctor takes him over at the end and he shows him this kind of doorway and he shoves all these, like, novelty germs through it, like, one at a time they all go through, and he takes all of them together. And they don't go through. They stay. They stick. They can't go through the door. That's what I think it is with Trump. It is very demonic. Like, they are legion. They are legion. Like, that is the reality. The forces, the dark forces, the principalities, whatever you want to call them. You can call that money, call that power, call that energy, call that death, whatever. Whatever dark power he's been enslaved to, or that Bibi Netanyahu has enslaved him to, right? Both willingly or unwittingly. It doesn't really matter at this point. Is it possible for him to be freed of that? Is it possible for us to get in some aspect our president, you know, back? I wouldn't even say he showed up in the first place, but to get him to show up on a few of these issues, namely being anti-war. The thing is with Trump, and, like, we talk about the maybe possible drugging, getting old, whatever, or just plain old evil. We talk about all these things. I just look at it from the perspective of, like, if you're trying to be loved, then you wouldn't do any of these things. And I think Trump has a pathological desire to be loved. I think he is a grandiose narcissist, right? I do believe that. So if you have this desire, this need to be loved, then why are you making everybody hate you? I guess you could say, you know, it's like the Kendrick Lamar song, "They Not Like Us, They Not Like Us, They Not Like Us." And he says, "Hey, I'm rich. I'm a billionaire. All the billionaire people love me. All the politicos love me. Those are my real friends. F you." But at the same time, like, Trump is a guy that goes on social media. Trump is a guy that at some level, you know, I don't know how much it's been curtailed, but he does see a little bit of what the public has to say. And that does have to keep him awake at night to the limited degree that he sleeps. And I do think that is a factor. And that is why I've been black pilling. I've been white pilling yesterday and today because I've been pleased with the news. Let's see where the chips fall. Let's see what the cards have to say at the blackjack table with this one. Let's go ahead and talk to Don in Oklahoma. Don in Oklahoma, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Okay. I'm a scatterbrain. I drink a little beer after hours.
You're good.
One of the things of this Israeli and the treason of our U.S. government, what is it, Section 422?
224.
422. Yeah. Of the 27 NDAA bill. Anybody that signs that in the U.S., they're traitors. There's a death sentence that comes along with that after a fair trial, of course.
Right.
But, they used to hang them fairly quickly when they caught traitors. I don't guess so now. What we've lost, any semblance of a government. What's Trump doing? Well, he promised all this stuff. Who is he and where's he at now?
Right.
Marion Allison's ass or something. I don't know. Pick a subject.
Here's what I think you're getting at. America is tired of not being listened to. Americans are tired of not being listened to. And it reaches a point as to where, like, you know, these things are corrupt. You know, these things are wrong. You need to be telling your families and friends and coworkers about all of this, right? And that's the message I always give when I do the show. If you have an awareness, it doesn't matter how, like, smart or prepared or whatever you are. If you know the truth, bring the truth to other people. I really do appreciate the call. Thank you, Don in Oklahoma. I do appreciate the call. Okay. I see something up on my screen, and I'm going to take it because he's been holding the longest. The bloodline families of the Illuminati. Let's go to David in Pennsylvania. David, you're on the air.
Hello.
Howdy.
Good to speak to you. Good to speak to you, Rex. Yes. Have you ever heard of a book by Rich Springmeier called Bloodlines of the Illuminati?
It sounds familiar.
Yes. It's all linked down through the generations.
Okay.
Families. Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Kennedy, Li, that's in China, Onassis, Reynolds, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, and Van Dude, D-U-Y-N.
Yeah.
Was Holland.
All right, so what's the point here? What do these people control?
Well, they control everything. The global finance, the government, the culture. They're connected through intermarriage. They have a colon esoteric background. Yeah.
Okay.
Ruling it elite.
Oh, where can people go to read more about it?
Well,
all right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All right. I'm 23. I'm bald. I got a girl that I'm sweet on that I'm thinking about right now. And that call just kind of took me out a little bit. Just like, I'm supposed to go on a date or something soon. I'm supposed to ask somebody out, and now I got to think about the bloodlines, I guess. And it's just, when I was a boy, when I was like 10 years old, I had people coming up to me with documents, like at school or at work or wherever, if I was at the office. And One time this guy, like half his body burned off, basically. I call him the man with the hook hand. He escaped a mental institution and he came to the old office and he had documents for me. And I just kind of went, thank you. And I took the documents and bye-bye it was. Here's the thing. Why do we need crazy, bloodline, reptilian, David Icke type stuff? Why do we need that when we have real evidence of the conspiracies right in front of our faces and we're not talking about that stuff? So I just, all right. Okay. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 26, Tucker breaking down the MOU. I think this is important for people to understand. I want more people to call in. Go ahead and go to clip 26 when you have it ready.
Very shortly after this war commenced, Israel decided, oh, wait, we're going to take this opportunity not to achieve the goals that they convinced President Trump to tell our nation about, but instead to do something we've wanted to do for a long time, which is steal southern Lebanon. And so very shortly after this war began, Israel started a new war with American weapons paid for by American taxpayers designed to take land from Lebanon, all the land south of the Litani River, which kind of bisects the country diagonally, and then starts hitting Beirut on the Mediterranean, an ancient and beautiful city, maybe the most beautiful city in the world. And Israeli warplanes started blowing up civilians in the middle of Beirut while the United States was occupied, tied down, really, both fighting this war that Israel inspired. We followed Israel's lead into the war, according to the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio.
Pause it.
And
this is the thing I always want to make clear to people. And it's almost like you have these various arguments. I got like Ukraine war argument, U.S.-Israeli empire argument, Iran war argument, Gaza argument. This is what I always tell people. Like if you're debating neocons, you got neocons and your friends and family and you're in your circle, whatever, and they tell you about like why we had to do the war or whatever, like why Trump didn't go far enough. Keep in mind, the thing you got to tell them, we illegally started this war when Israel took us into battle. And Marco Rubio, the quote is, Israel was going to attack. We feared Americans would die in the retaliation, so we wanted to make sure that didn't happen. It's only going to be 24 to 48 hours. So paraphrasing a little bit, that's the quote. I want to keep that in mind for people. As more people call in, the number to call in, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. Let me go ahead and get Jason from Vegas on the air talking about Mark Levin. Uh-oh. Mark Levin. Are you on the air? It says that he's screen. Is my audio out?
Hello?
All right, I can hear you now, my friend. How are you doing?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. That's a bit loud. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? I don't think he can hear me. I think he dropped off. All right. All right. While we wait for more callers to call in, that's 512-266-0642. Let's go back to that Tucker clip. Once we have it.
Defending mainland Israel from the response to that war from Iran. And Israel takes this opportunity to use our money to start a new war to steal land. So this agreement addresses that in the very first paragraph. So while a lot of people in America didn't even notice what was happening, Iran focused on it. And so in order to get everything else that follows in this agreement, the United States will have to restrain Israel, pull back from Lebanon, stop killing civilians in Lebanon, and give back the land that you stole while the rest of us were paying attention to the Iran war. Wow, that's the first paragraph. And apparently the U.S. is going to sign this. Paragraph two. The United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran undertake to respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity and to refrain from interfering in one another's affairs, internal affairs. Why is this significant? Well, because the United States is addressing the Islamic Republic of Iran not as a rogue terror state, the Third Reich reconstituted in the Middle East, but as a normal country.
Pause it.
In fact, as a power.
So, yeah, we're going to have to deal with them as a regional power. Of course, we should have done that from the beginning of the war. There shouldn't have been a war at all, but that is the reality. Tucker breaks it down excellently there. I highly recommend watching that full interview from Tucker Carlson. Let's go ahead and go to Duke in Oklahoma. J.D. Vance, is he in the club?
Hey, Rex, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. I can't complain.
I'm going to have to say we're still in the same boat. I don't know why we think J.D. Vance or anybody else in this administration is going to do anything different. I mean,
I don't. I agree with you. I just I like white pilling on occasion, you know?
Yeah. it's like we take two steps back, you know, every time. It's, we don't have anybody that's actually done exactly what they say they're going to do. It doesn't exist. It's like it does not exist. And I don't know where this is going to take us, but there's nobody. There's nobody right now that is saying anything. It's like we're running for governor. We got a couple people running for governor right now in Oklahoma. And I listen to these guys. This is a joke. I'm just shaking my head going, what is going on? You know?
Right. It's like they're not even real. Like, you know, these empty suits, whoever they have running, it's the party infrastructure that manufactures like the fakest, most empty people on earth, whether that's Democrat or Republican. It's like we don't have real people in office. I totally agree.
We're in trouble.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add on to that with J.D. Vance?
No, I don't trust him, and that's just, I know a lot of other people are just sick and tired of this. We put up with this too long. It's something's got to break, and it's gonna give.
This is why, if I'm gonna support a political candidate, they're either gonna be not a politician, like brand new outside the system, or it's gonna be a military person. You know, that's been over there and has had to see these things and do these things. I think a big reason why we have the problems that we have right now, Duke, is that we have people that are professional lawyers that have never seen, you know, struggle, sweat, much less death and murder. I think it creates a level of, you know, comfortability where it's like they're bubble boy and, you know, their wars, their death, their violence, their inflation. It doesn't touch them because they can vote and they can bet in the stock market, the prediction market. They're making money. It's not their sons and daughters going off to die. It's yours or somebody else's in a foreign country. They're elitists and they're detached from us. So I do agree with you. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Let me take the call from Tiger, Washington State. Tiger, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Hey there, Rex. Can you hear me?
I can. Loud and clear.
Most excellent. Now, I called you up on your Gray Zone show a while back. I just wanted to chime in a little bit. Almost think like we're inside of a Russian nesting doll, a PSYOP inside of a PSYOP inside of another one. Because I don't know whether it'd be red-pilled, blue-pilled, white-pilled, black-pilled. Hell, I don't know what's going on.
Right. How about no more pills? How about say no to drugs? Like, that's the reality. It's like we have to be reality-pilled, you know?
That's absolutely correct, sir.
What else is on your mind?
Well, not a whole lot. Just on a job site, listen to the show, figure I'd call in.
Beautiful.
And
I love it. What pill are you taking? Is that methylene blue?
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, I take all your supplements, man. Hold on, let me grab out my little medicine cabinet here.
We love it.
Methylene blue every single day, and I tell you what, it's phenomenal.
My unlimited power.
I don't know what it did, but it fixed my eyeballs. Now, on top of that, let's see, I take your power plant and your methyl drive. I take your CMOS. I take the ultimate life force, the ultra methylene red, the ultimate burn, the Sheila G complex pills, the zeolite detox, and the NASA iodine, along with the vitamin mineral fusion, but you guys don't have that on the website right now.
You're taking the power drive bundle. He's taking power plant and methyl drive, those two products that I created. Did you notice an increase in energy after you started taking the power plant?
10,000%, and I'll put it to you like this. Usually I keep the medicine box or whatever you want to call it, the pill box, in the work van on the weekends. I don't usually go out to the work van, and I start dragging real hard Saturday, Sunday. Come around Monday, full of energy again.
Right, and it's got the zinc and boron in there to raise your testosterone and free testosterone together in concert, combined with the Rhodiola roja, also known as golden root, and that really helps your brain. It lowers cortisol as well with a different mechanism of action than ashwagandha. And that really contributes, you know, lower stress, lower inflammation, higher testosterone levels. And that's what a lot of men need to get through their day. And I think the store should always have like a Super Male Vitality analog equivalent. It doesn't work through the same pathway that Super Male Vitality did. It works through a different one with the minerals and then with the cordyceps and the Rhodiola roja. Like, I'm really proud of Power Plant, and I'm honored that you're taking that supplement, and I'm grateful that it's improved your life. Thank you so much for the plug, man. Anything you want to say in closing?
No, man, just keep selling those supplements, and I hope Bigley does pull their head out of their you-know-where and starts giving you guys more deals for the sleep products you keep offering.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. We're going to bring all of that and more to thealexjonesstore.com. I want to tell people, he's talking about all these phenomenal products, and thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. I want to tell people right now, you can get all these things at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the place to go for hats, for apparel, for belts, for water filtration, for vitamins, for minerals, for nutraceuticals, for methylene blue. You name it, we've got it available at thealexjonesstore.com. And this is different than other shows, right? Other shows, they have like a donation model, a super chat model, and you know that's fine for people to do. And if you want to donate to us, that's phenomenal as well. Here's the thing. We're giving you something to get something back. We're not taking anything away from you. That's why I'm proud to be a supplement salesman, a humble water filter merchant, if you will. That's why I'm proud of what we do, because what we do is good. It helps people. It helps people improve their lives, like that man I just talked to on the phone, for example. And you can get these amazing products at discount at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited, our new America 250 collection, 30% off some of the coolest t-shirts in the game. My dad designed those shirts. Super cool. Ultra methylene blue as well. Here's the thing. And I just did an impassioned plug. Go get the methylene blue. Go get all of it. Power plant methyl drive, ultra methylene red. That's all amazing. What did the caller say? He said, hey, like, I want to buy a sleep supplement, but they don't have one really available. And I said, yeah, even though methylene blue can help you sleep as well. How about you go to 50%off.com? That's 50%off.com. I've got vintage classic knockout sleep support available for you right now. Best selling formula for literally half a decade plus. Okay. Top rated in our store. Kept our lights on at the old operation. I've got it reformulated, available for you under a new label at 50%off.com. I've got the Super Blue on there. I've got activated charcoal toothpaste. I've got Brain Force on there. I've got Alpha Power on there. This is the one-stop shop to get it. 50%off.com. Look at that. That's 9 ingredients. That's $29.95. Everything that people take separately for sleep, all wrapped up together into one perfect encapsulation. Okay, $29.95. That's the 2015 knockout price. Okay, look at how I'm treating you. I'm treating you how I want to be treated, right? When I go out there to buy a product, I want the best product at the best price. I call that discount premium. That's what 50%off.com is. And I'm grateful to everyone that's checked it out. I'm grateful for everyone that's gotten the knockout, gotten the Brain Force, gotten the toothpaste, all of it available at that website, 50%off.com. Cut back to me. I'm so grateful to be in these, to be in the situation, to be in the chair, to do the show, to do these things. I would not be here shy from my upbringing, being raised around the crew, being raised around my dad and all the fine hosts, and really admiring all these people and wanting to do this profession, do this career. I have been a supplement manufacturer, white labeler, retailer, and shipper. I own a fulfillment center for the past 5 years. I've been doing those four things. Pretty crazy to think about. Now with the show, I'm doing all five and it comes together. I need you to support me. I need you to go to 50%off.com. And if you want CBD, I've got jonescbd.com. Because here's the thing. When I stop struggling to pay my rent, when I stop struggling to pay my payroll, to pay my employees and all of it, to run my operation, my shows get better. My thinking gets better. It all gets better. And if you want to see me in the chair more, if you want to see my talent level rise, my power level go up, the easiest way to do that is to show your support. And I'd never ask you for something without giving you something in return. These are products that you need and are probably already taking. And this is the thing, is like, well, do you take supplements? Yeah, I take a mushroom coffee. Yeah, I take a greens powder. I do all these things that are great. Okay, what are you targeting? What are you addressing? You know, what is the mechanism of action? You know, we sell methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene blue, incredible product. Nitrogen, sulfur, chlorine. Chlorine makes it a medical dye. Sulfur donates an electron to your mitochondrial process, makes your mitochondria more efficient, gives you energy, gives you nootropic, gives you stamina, gives you balance, all the things we know about methylene blue. You can look that up and confirm it for yourself, right? It's not something as to where we're not going to tell you what it is. Power up! That's right. Power up with methylene blue. Get the methylene blue. Get all the products at thealexjonesstore.com, or, you know, go to 50%off.com and check out what I got available there. I just want to thank everyone so much for being here. Sorry I didn't get to you, Clown Car and O'Brien. Really appreciate y'all. Call into the next show. I should be back very, very soon, and I do appreciate everyone that's been holding on the line. Reshare, repost, especially the clips that come out of this episode. Thank you so much. Rex Jones here on the War Room. I'll see you around on the other side.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch.
Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.